And what's your name, little boy?
Hey, kid. Hurry up. The store's closing.
Come on. Listen, little boy. We've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it, blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? Football? What's a football?
Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no. Okay, what was I doing?
Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
No. Rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
To do business with us, yes?
Jesus Christ.
You wish to make a purchase, yes?
Yes. Jesus Christ, yes. Yeah. You know, you guys are out there like Pluto, man. You're gone.
The bulk of the heroin will be here Friday night. We'll make delivery at that time. Have the money ready and no tricks. If you try anything, you'll have to talk to Mr. Joshua.
Yeah, right. Joshua. Yeah, right. I got you. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, right. Merry you too, pal.
Teach me how to understand Christmas. Show me how to open a box. It hurts my little head when I'm lying in my bed with visions of sugar plum socks.
Is this a bit?
Teach me how to understand Christmas. Do I trim the tree or the deer? I can't keep it straight, and now it's getting late. Where does the stocking go? Here? I can't see. What's the Christmas Eve? Is that Santa's lady? Are snowmen cold or hot? Won't you be my daddy? I'm a silly Christmas baby. Tell me what to deck, because I forgot.
Annie.
Wayne Hoodie, understandy Christmas. Mistletoe for Edie tastes good? Oh, you smarty, me dumb, help Witty have fun. Boopy doopy doop, boop sex.
Look, eventually you hit a point of diminishing returns on the sexiness.
What's a diminishing return?
I received a call from Will Warren, the county prosecutor, happens to be a very close friend of mine. You'll be glad to know that in spite of your bungling, he's confident they'll find our thief in those house-to-house searches during curfew. Another thing, he said, your men are to assist and report to me, as per his instructions. You can call if you'd like. Let's see, one other thing. Oh, yes, your Christmas wish came true. You're to be out of here the day after Christmas. Isn't that a lovely Noel? It's been swell.
Bob.
Yes.
I nailed your wife.
What?
I still gotta bake my Christmas pie.
I've gotta get Dad a lousy tie.
Christmas crowds is what a hype.
No time left to procrastinate.
So move your ass.
And let me pass, cause Christmas Eve is here.
Now! Why is the Santa's suit so snug?
Girl, why should I care? It's all humbug.
I've jacked my prices up so high, but there's no chance these saps won't buy a steel's eggnog, a green hot dog.
Cause Christmas Eve is here.
These holiday cookies swell my fat.
Yeah,
Even though we're not Gentile, we'll get together for a while.
Just shoot the breeze.
And eat Chinese,
because Christmas Eve is here. Oi!
Christmas is a family day.
I told Grandpa we'd be away.
He's at the door.
Let's hit the floor, because Christmas Eve is here.
Fire it up, Dad.
I dedicate this house to the Griswold family Christmas. Oh. Drum roll, please. Drum roll.
What day is it?
What day?
Goddamn Christmas!
Yeah! Woohoo! Gosh darn Christmas! Hey everyone! It's Friday! It's time for Entertainment Landfill. Welcome everyone. I am Zedestrom. We are here to talk about film, television, pop culture. But this is a special Christmas show where we'll be talking about anything. This is the end of the year. Only one more week until it's 2014. And I wanted to talk with my buddies, Steven the Pop Culture Zealot! And Mulberry Bill the Mulberry Historian!
No, so you're not in Hawaii this week, Steven.
No, sir.
You
and I am Zedestrom. Of course, I already said that. But, guys, we're here to just talk about stuff, our favorite things of the year. Now, Bill, everyone comes out with their big list, my favorite stuff of the year. Like, no one wants to look at anybody's list, okay?
No. You know what? When I was, like, 12, I liked lists. And then I grew up. And
now
lists are a waste
grown
of time.
When I see them, like, I'll see, like, something that says something like, the best and worst episodes of the TV season, and I'll start looking at them, and I was like, oh, you're full of shit! And I'll just get pissed off and, like, you know, like, naming, like the best episode of Breaking Bad of the year.
Well, you don't want to overanalyze television and make it no fun?
Yeah, that's what it does. It makes it, and, you know, they have to say, and the worst episode of Breaking Bad this season. I'm like, there was no worst episode. Come on. Just give me a break. You know, if you want to talk about some CW show, then I have a handful of shows I could talk about, you know.
Oh, wow, I love Rain. That's such a good show.
Like, for instance, okay, say if I was to say this, Bill. If I were to ask you what your favorite video game of this year would be, that would be really cool because you've probably played a lot of games. Me, I've played, like, Grand Theft Auto and The Last of Us. And
I could never do that. You know, I've played games, but I can't give an ultimate ranking to anything because I've enjoyed them all differently. I just can't do that. I can't do lists.
Would you say that The Last of Us is your best game of the year so far?
The Last of Us is the most emotional experience I've had gaming this year.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
And I think this is going to sound crazy, but so far, Dead Rising 3 is the most fun I've had gaming this year.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just having an... It beats, like, GTA 5 was a very well-rounded game, but I felt it loses its way about midway through, and it starts to drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're a good case in point of that because you kind of stepped away from it.
Yeah. Basically, here's what happened with me in Grand Theft Auto 5. And I was into the storyline and everything, and I don't even know if it's the game's fault, but I started just running around and killing people and having the cops chase me.
Yeah, you get bored.
And I would try to get away, then I would die, and then I would start to drive somewhere on the map that I'd need to go, and then I would get out of the car and start mowing people down. And
yeah, it's too open world. it's way too open. It needed to be a little more linear, a little more story-based.
I mean, I like open world. I just think it's my fault. I'm more interested in other things right now.
Absolutely.
That's what it was.
I had to fight to finish it, honestly. I set it down for probably close to 2 weeks and then came back to it. But once it was done, it was done. I was just like, oh, thank goodness that's over. And I don't care about going back and doing any of the
Once the storyline's over, I don't care about any achievements. I'm
the
done.
Only Rockstar game I've done that with is Red Dead Redemption. I did 100% on it.
Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption.
I love Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption.
You still need to play the zombie thing all the way through.
Webster,
that is awesome.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, you don't have to. I mean,
no. Sorry.
Oh,
it was. I put a couch cushion down. He was scratching at it. Sorry.
Oh, because I said you need to play all of the zombie one, and you just go no.
No, I was like, yelling at Webster. Sorry.
And then you went down a big
zombie
slide.
One, the Dead Rising 3?
Huh?
Dead Rising 3?
No, you remember the Red Dead Redemption did a DLC.
Oh, yes. Undead
zombies.
Nightmare. Yeah, I never played any of the DLC.
Dude, that is so awesome because if you've played Red Dead Redemption, it has the whole storyline with all the characters.
I know it brings back the grave robber, the insane guy.
They bring back all the characters from the main game into the zombie story.
That's awesome.
It's really cool the way they do it.
Oh, no!
No, it's really cool. But anyway, sorry. Bill, it's been a great year for films also, hasn't it? We've seen a lot of cool stuff, you know?
It's been a big year for innovation in film, honestly.
Yes, totally.
I mean, you know, you had Gravity, which blew everyone away, and we saw stuff with that I don't think anybody's ever seen or will see for a while. You know, there's going to be plenty of imitators, I'm sure. But
yeah.
And I just got back from The Hobbit, Desolation of Smog. And I got to say, maybe it's once your brain sees the high frame rate once, it knows what it is. But I had no issues going directly into it.
Yeah, like, we're going to talk about that coming up.
I didn't have any of that catch up.
Package that, Bill. We're going to talk about that in entertainment.
Sorry. Yeah, all right. It's apology night for me. We're rusty.
Yeah,
I'm rusty.
We definitely are rusty. Can I tell you something that I did? You know, like, because it's all about me, you know.
Uh-huh.
No, but because it's Christmas at Emma's school, Christmas time.
And Queens.
I volunteered, Bill, to work in Santa's workshop. Now, what that is when there are products for kids to buy for their parents. And so the kids can buy presents. So, you know, they send a thing home with parents with an envelope saying however much money you want to send your child so they can buy things for you. And, you know, some parents say, spend $5 on mom, $5 on dad, $5 on grandma or something like that. And they give them like $20.
Screw Grandpap. He's a bastard.
And most of the stuff looks like the reward bin, like at Chuck E. Cheese that you get.
Yes, made in Taiwan.
Yeah, a bunch of garbage, you know. Some of it, there was stuff like $20 stuff that was kind of little statues or music box, something cute, I guess.
World's greatest dad.
Yeah, they have work gloves for dad or something like that. Or like a socket set or something, you know.
Oh, boy.
But I volunteered to work in there for a day.
Because you're insane.
It was Black Friday with children.
Black Friday with children. I want it! Don't want it!
Because what would happen... No, the kids were actually very well behaved, Bill.
Oh, okay.
But the problem was, I was the only one in there, and a teacher would drop off like 10 kids. From like kindergarten or something. First grade teacher brings 5 kids, and then the third grade teacher brings like, 6 kids. And so there's all these kids in there. I'm like, oh my God.
You're the only one taking the money?
Yes. Eventually,
give me that money, kid.
Some people would come in there at a time to help, but it didn't help. You had to help one person at a time, and some of the kids were like, "I want this," and I go, "Okay." And I had a calculator. That'll be $55. How much do you have? $3. And I'd be like, "Okay, well, you can't buy any of this stuff. Let me show you what you can buy."
Expect you to teach economics to 5-year-olds?
I had to over and over again. But, I mean, After it was over, I was proud of myself, but man, I was exhausted.
How long did you have to do it?
I did it all freaking day until like 2:30.
You're a better man than I.
I didn't know if they had like shifts. You know, you come in for 2 hours and do it, and another parent comes in.
Wait, so you're saying you're the only person all day?
The beginning of the day, someone showed me the ropes. And then later, a lady came to help me, and I was like, oh, this is great. And she goes, well, I got to get back to work. And I was like, you've been here like 20 minutes.
You bitch.
You weren't helpful. And then a lady came in around 1:30 to help. And that really did help because they started getting more and more crazy. Mainly just because it's one after another kid, you know, that you're helping.
Yeah.
But the ones who just didn't know anything about money drove me crazy. I want this and this and this, and I want a color television for my dad. Okay, how much money do you have? A nickel. Oh.
You can afford the Sensui then, son.
Here you go. Magnet box.
Wake up, stupid! Wake up!
Oh, man, it was crazy.
You wind up being Steve Martin in The Jerk and pointing on the shelf. You can have anything in 3 inches.
This shelf right here. Like, there was a 25-cent bin, and I go, you can get stuff from here. You got a dollar? Get 4 things from here. You want 4 stickers, kid? You know.
This stuff sucks, mister.
I'm never coming here again. Good.
I'm reporting you on Yelp.
But I cannot express more of how all the kids were actually really good and patient.
And impatient?
Very patient.
Oh, okay. I was impatient.
I had to be patient. I was like Job, Bill.
Nice.
Patience of Job. You're going
biblical on them.
Or Job, as it really looks to me. The patience of Job.
Yes. Patience of having a job.
What kind of laugh was that, Jason? I don't know. But Bill and Steven, it's so great to see you guys again. We haven't done the show in a couple of years now, I think.
About 4 years.
I think we're a monthly show now. We do one episode a month.
It's been busy. It's been the holidays. They got to cut us some slack.
Yeah, we got shit to do, you know?
We have lives.
Yeah.
You must have a lot of free time.
All right, Bill. We have voicemail. And we have our first voicemail from Sean. Okay, baby dog. Can you hear that?
No.
She's like going... That was a hilarious video that Hannah put on Facebook also of the dogs who are afraid to walk by the cat.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't watch that?
No, I didn't have time to watch it.
Oh, it's hilarious. The dog, it's like a big dog and there's a cat and it like won't walk past
inside the bedroom and or the down the stairs.
People are like, come on, come on. And the dog's like,
do you have to think that's probably the world's meanest cat for it to be afraid to walk by it.
Eventually they all try to walk by and you see the cat like, swats at their ass or whatever. The dog's just like, I'm sick of this shit.
I'm not getting paid enough for this.
Now, our first voicemail is from Sean. We haven't heard from him in a while. And does my sound sound okay, Bill? It sounds kind of weird on my end.
No, you sound fine.
I'm afraid it's just the drops have been real low to me. Do those sound okay to you?
No, everything sounds perfectly clear.
Yeah, right.
How's it sound?
I mean, my Skype connection is a little shoddy, but I mean, it sounds okay.
All right, we have our first voicemail, this one from Sean. Let's check it out.
Hey, Jason, Bill, and Steven. It's Sean from Los Angeles. I just wanted to send a quick voice note to you because I saw you guys are doing a show tomorrow. Just want to wish you guys Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
I don't hear him at all.
Happy everything. Hope everyone's doing well.
I think I've discovered it. You don't hear him at all?
No, it kept going away. Like, it just totally went silent for me.
Were you hearing the drops earlier, though?
A little, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
Are you still playing it now?
No, I stopped it.
Okay. All right.
You don't hear it at all. Let's see, the people in the chat room, do you guys hear that? I don't know. I haven't messed with any of my settings.
I think some, like, setting gnomes came in and changed some stuff.
Okay, I think I see what's wrong. Let's see. Testing.
Oh, there we go.
Well, I don't know if that fixed anything. I just said
well, you sound about a million times better.
Huh, okay. All right, well, let's see if you can hear this Sean voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Jason, Bill, and Steven. It's Sean from Los Angeles. I just wanted to send a quick to you because I saw you guys are doing a show tomorrow. Just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
That's weird. It's on your end then, Bill. That's what I think. I don't see how it could be, though. All you did was call me. I don't know. Let me start the voicemail over. I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do.
Check the microphone settings in Skype. See if it's on stereo mix or something.
It usually is. Like, you can hear the drops, right? Listen.
You know, you guys are out there like Pluto, man. You're gone.
Can you hear that?
No, nothing.
Okay,
it's silent.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
I don't have to hear the voicemails.
Maybe we should just cancel the show. I don't know. Let's see.
Can they hear us in the chat room? Can they hear you? Because Adam is doing play-by-play in the chat room, but he says in silence, so I don't know what that means. If it's silent now, or can they hear any of us?
Like, it should work better like this.
Okay.
But it doesn't. I'm just clicking on things now, like a moron. I don't know what to do.
Well, hey, that works. I wonder what Skype did to screw everything up now. Thanks, Microsoft. All right, you're back. Okay, Jason's back.
No, it's working now.
Okay.
Hunk of shit. I think it's working now. Anyway, let's listen to that voicemail of Sean's one more time because it's awesome. This is the best voicemail you've ever heard, Bill.
It's so good we were playing it three times.
No, I'm going to play you this voicemail instead. I titled it Some Dude Voicemail because they didn't say who they were. Let's listen to this voicemail from some dude. All right? Let's check it out. You ready for this, Steven?
Yes.
Let's see if Bill can hear it. If you can't hear it, Bill, just say no right away. And then you'll hear a gunshot and a thud as I blow my brains out. Okay, ready? Here we go. Some dude voicemail. Some dude.
Hey, guys, just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas. And
oh, my God, no! No!
You can't hear it at all?
I hear it when it starts and it fades out.
What the hell, man?
Fades to silence.
What is going on?
Something is, like, there's something going on where it's as self-adjusting.
Oh, okay, I got it. I started clicking a bunch of things. I think I clicked something. Okay, Bill. Some dude voicemail.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas. And
just faded out again.
Listen to show live.
Mother!
I actually get to my son's
and it, and this is so funny. It comes back whenever you start talking. So there's noise canceling. Is there anything on your settings for noise canceling?
Oh, there it is. Automatically adjust speaker settings. Clicking it off. Let's see if that worked, because I thought I clicked that earlier. Okay, Bill. Let's try it now. Ready? Some dude voicemail settings. Wait, what? I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. God damn it! All right. Some dude voicemail, Bill. You ready for this?
Yes.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas, and hopefully get a chance to listen to the show live tonight.
Fade it out.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, and again, you start talking and it comes right back.
Okay, wait. Audio settings. Okay. Automatically adjust microphone settings is off.
Okay.
Automatically adjust speaker settings off. What else could it be?
Is there like an automatically adjust wave settings? Is there anything like that?
No. General settings? No. I don't know. This is bad. This is really bad. I don't know, Bill.
Why would it? That's weird. You can hear it, then it fades.
Yeah, it fades out, and then the moment you start talking, it comes back. So it's some sort of auto, like, silencer thing going on with Skype.
I wonder what that stands for.
It's like the advanced options of audio in Skype. I don't...
Tool. Options.
You're a tool, Skype. No, I don't...
Show advanced options.
No, there's nothing in the advanced options. It's just...
What is going on here?
I don't have any auto level checkers on, Zell.
audio level checkers.
Because if there was an audio level checker, why would it fade Jason out on my end?
It's the kind of thing where it's just so frustrating that I don't know anymore. I can't even think. Bill? Here's the question. Do I leave all of this in the show?
Or do what, I 40 minutes of us trying to figure this out?
Yeah. All right, all right, guys, it's time for some voicemail. Woohoo! The show has been smooth sailing so far. I thought we'd roll right into some voicemail. Our first voicemail is some dude. The reason I say some dude is because he didn't give us his name. So let's check it out.
Hey, guys, just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas and hopefully get a chance to listen to the show live tonight. I actually get to my son's first Christmas.
No.
Pretty fun this year. Pretty excited about it. But I hope you guys have a good show. All right? Bye.
Who are you? You didn't leave your name! Who is that? Who is that?
I don't know, because I didn't hear him.
What? I thought you could hear it!
It went away!
What do you mean it went away?
It faded out!
There's no way!
I'm telling you, man!
Why would it do that?
Well, it's because you guys were talking like every couple seconds, it didn't fade out. Whereas if you're silent, it just fades out. It takes it like it's background noise and fades it out and brings up noise.
La, la, da, 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 da. Let's try this, Bill. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Here's a voicemail from Sean. Let's check it out.
Hey, Jason, Bill, and Steven. It's Sean
Faded.
From Los Angeles. I just wanted to send a quick voice note to you because I saw you guys are doing a show tomorrow.
Now I can hear it as you're talking.
You Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Okay,
Happy
here
holidays.
We go. La, da, 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 da.
I've been real busy the past few months. Haven't been able to
now all I hear is bass.
I'm really sorry about that, but I'm looking forward to the holiday pack that I saw Bill posted on Facebook that you guys just recorded.
Skype did something.
I'm going to start crying, Bill.
So
Skype.
Definitely donate.
Because if this isn't, this stays like this, I mean, we can't do the show ever.
Yeah, don't really have too much to say.
Skype changed something.
What did they do?
All right.
Oh my God, an echo.
Echo! Oh, sorry, I'm just messing with all the settings now.
I don't understand what you're trying to do. Can you hear me? Did my sound change at all?
You know what's funny? Whenever you start talking like that, it immediately raises the noise.
That's on your end. Go into your settings. I swear.
It's not on my end because I'm on a different computer.
No, you're automatically just speaker settings are going or something.
I'm on a different computer. The computer I was on before was my desktop unit. Now I'm on my laptop. So how can the two computers have the same problem?
It's your headset. That's what it is. I don't know what's going on.
It's the power cable.
Yes.
It's the power glove is what it is, Steven.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's Skype. I have all my settings, nothing self-adjusting. Everything's the same as it was when I used it the last time. I mean, hell, we just recorded the one of the holiday shows and we didn't have any problem.
Yeah, but we weren't playing any sound effects or anything.
Oh, that's true.
Hey, Bill, can you hear it okay?
Yeah, you're great. Not muffled at all.
Oh, I sound good. My face is warm and my arms are freezing.
You had a stroke.
All right, I'm going to try one more thing, okay, guys?
All right.
All right, do you guys want to field any questions in the chat room? I'll answer any questions you have. Yes, this is the worst episode ever of the show. Yes, it is Steven's fault. I don't know what he did. He has something in his pocket, some kind of transmitter or something. Sorry. Just my mic. Actually, guys, the show doesn't start till 10, so you guys have been 2 hours early. We're just working out the kinks here. Come on, you guys are silly. What'd you show up so early for? All right, Bill's ready. Let's call him.
Cross your fingers.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. How's it going?
It's excrement.
Would you like to start the show?
Yeah.
We're just starting over from scratch.
Oh, at 10 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah. So did you install the update?
I did.
All right. Let's check it out. Let's see if it worked. You know, if this doesn't work, I'm probably going to go on a rampage, right?
Yes, I'm fully prepared for rampage.
Okay. I may start crying, actually.
That would just be sad.
So we've played the Some Dude voicemail. Remember that, Bill?
No, because I didn't hear it. I didn't, and apparently we played a Sean voicemail also that I didn't hear.
Yes. We have a Adam voicemail. Let's listen to that one this time.
All right.
All right, guys, we have some voicemail. I don't know why I'm doing this. This isn't going to work, and everything's ruined. Uh-oh, pessimist. What's going on? I'm being a pessimist. Let me just...
Glass half empty.
I tell you what, it sounds better.
It does? Yeah?
If you're on stereo mix, it sounds much better.
Yes.
Okay. Let's do this.
All right. All right, we have a voicemail from Adam. Let's check it out.
Christmas Eve will find me. You can bet your sweet little rear end on that.
Merry Whoa. Christmas, Entertainment Landfill. I love you. I love everything about you. I love everything about your podcast. I think that you guys got ripped off and you deserve to win that laptop desk in the Potty Awards.
Every year.
And I just think that if it was my Christmas wish were to come true, I would probably buy you guys your little downtown studio. And me and my wife played the lottery the other day. Thought I was going to win, but we didn't. Oh. And so I told her that we're going to have to split the money up equally when we win, because I'm going to blow a bunch of money on the Entertainment Landfill, guys. But sadly, my foolproof plan of winning the lottery did not work. And now I'm going to do that annoying thing where you hand your phone to your kid and tell him to say something. Charlie, say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Holy shit.
There you go. Merry Christmas, guys. Love you guys. And I appreciate all your hard work and the countless hours. Well, not countless. I'm sure someone could do the math. But I appreciate all the hours of entertainment that you've given to us over the years. And, you know, it's a true friendship. Friendships that we've made, you know, gotten together with PCZ, looking forward to meeting Mulberry Bill and the J-Strum at some point. And I know it'll happen. I just feel so confident that, you know, I feel like I've got true friends in you guys. I wish you guys the happiest of Christmases. And, Bill, I hope you get your daishiki. I know a few years back you were hoping to get daishiki to celebrate
Kwanzaa.
He says
it every year.
Yeah. I do. I'm wearing it right now.
Wish of yours comes true. And, that's it, guys. I just it's been a while since I've sent a voicemail in, but I'm rambling on at this point. But I really appreciate you guys. And, I feel like a better person for knowing you. Okay? That's basically what I'm trying to say. All right. Anyways, guys, enjoy your families, enjoy the Christmas holiday, and have a happy new year. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Adam. That is exactly what I needed. You know?
How do I turn this thing on?
His daughter sounded so adorable.
She's at that perfect age where it's just adorable. I love that. I can't wait till my niece gets to that age and she starts talking, because it just melts your heart.
She sent me a video before Thanksgiving where it was like, she was like, "Hi, Jason. Hi, Emma. Hi, Hannah. Happy Thanksgiving." And I was like, oh my God, that was so adorable. All right, well, we have another voicemail. This one from Hannah. Let's check it out. Hey. And Adam, I love you, man. You're great. He always cheers me up. He texts me all the time and tells me something about the show. And
why doesn't he text me?
All right,
why am I only being left out?
I'm sorry, Bill. I'll tell him to text you. All right, you
terrible people.
Voicemail from Hannah.
Hi guys, it's Hannah here. Just a very quick message to say have a very happy Christmas and
I love
a restful
happy Christmas
break over the holidays. I hope you all get a chance to watch lots and lots of films and eat lots of yummy food and spend time with people that you love. I hope to listen to you a lot more in 2014. Lots
Thank
of love.
You.
Bye.
Thank you, Hannah. I feel lost
Merry
somewhere.
New Year!
All right, Bill. I figured out what the problem was. That some dude voicemail just screwed up everything. That's what it was.
It's because he didn't give his name.
We have another voicemail. This one from Adam Sexton. Hey, Adam. He's in the chat room right now, and he was helping us out. And
he's ton sexy.
If he's no longer listening, I can completely understand.
So, yeah.
Well, let's check this out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. My name is Adam Sexton. I've been listening to your show about a year now. You probably
and I am an addict. At a
due to my job, I don't always have the opportunity to listen to a live show, but when I do, I found it to be a great way to relax. I know you encourage listeners to send in feedback in forms of voicemails or emails, and I've always been struck with the dilemma of deciding what I should ask or talk about until now. During one of the live shows that I was present for during the summer, when I was in the chat room, Andy Sims was online. He wasn't online for very long, but long enough that I was able to say hello to him and wish him luck on his upcoming podcast, and I hope we get to see it soon. Prior to listening to the show, I was a Hollywood Saloon fan, and despite the falling out that ended that program, I still think it's one of the best podcasts I've listened to. And I didn't feel like bringing that show up to him in the chat room, but I wish I had the mind to thank him for doing a plug for your podcast, which he did in an episode or two. I mean, I forget which. Otherwise, I don't know if I would have ever heard of a podcast formerly known as Nowhere in Mulberry. I still plan to send him a message via Facebook or Twitter to do this, but in case he's listening, thank you, Andy. I was thinking about this in a way that some podcasts can lead you to others. When Mulberry Bill tweeted about the Stinging Paws podcast recently on Twitter, I've been listening to their episodes from the very first, and I'm on the Halloween special right now. It's a really clever take on talking about films from the past, and like on this show, the hosts have great personalities. They're funny, down-to-earth, and the discussions are worthwhile. They've been talking about films such as The Sting, Dog Day Afternoon, and Remains of the Day, and I want to revisit them soon because of their conversations. So just as I want to thank Andy Sims for letting me know about Entertainment Landfill, I want to thank Bill for doing the same for the Stinking Paws podcast. I plan to give them a positive review on iTunes. Also, this past year seemed like the first year where we got more than our usual share of comic book movies or franchise films or stuff based on TV shows, and the next 2 years will only seem to increase the output of those kinds of movies. With all of the maddening fanboy reaction to movies like Man of Steel or Star Trek Into Darkness and even the new Hobbit film, I wanted to thank the three of you guys for being just intelligent people who pushed aside their biases or preferences, if you had any, and just saw the films on their own terms, for what they were trying to say, and not being concerned about how it tied in with the source material. And I've had more arguments, if you can call them that, with fanboys than with people who had a bone to pick with the films on a technical level, such as the script or direction or acting. And what this means ultimately, I guess, is that I'm not that big of a comic book person or, an enthusiast about the TV show or the book that the films were based on. And I'm a film buff first and foremost. And I like to keep the conversation tethered to that subject, how the movie works as a movie and not as an adaptation. Listening to some of your reviews this past year, gave me hope that, of course, there are people that don't always feel that way that fanboys do. You can have love for both the source material and the adaptations, but it's also possible to keep them to being separate things. And as I said before, we're only going to get more of these films in the coming years, and I look forward to them, but of course, we can probably anticipate that the fanboy backlash will also increase. And it makes me wonder if any of these goofs really know what they want from entertainment anymore. But at least I don't have to worry about you guys. Your heads are in the right place. Also, Bill might talk about this, but I'm curious to hear what he or anyone else has to think about the unrated cut of The Wolverine, if they've watched it yet. And it's a film that I missed in theaters, so when the Blu-ray was released, I decided to blind buy it and support the movie. And I've watched both cuts, and the unrated cut is definitely superior, so I'm glad that I bought it.
You agree, Bill?
Also, oh, absolutely,
I
yeah.
The Last of Us about a month ago, and it's definitely my game of the year. The ending is still haunting me this day, and I'm still thinking about those two main characters. And it, and I really appreciated how, you know, you weren't burdened with giving a choice at the end, and as Joel made his crucial decision, it made perfect sense given his character and his relationship with Ellie. Just so many great moments, as well as some infuriating or frustrating ones, but really, and also one of the best soundtracks. Not sure if I ever want to touch the multiplayer, but I'm glad that I bought it. I also
Assassin's
Creed 4 this morning, so that's what I plan to play over
Seems
Christmas
disturbing.
Level. I'm still actually trying to finish Assassin's Creed 3. Jason, Bill, and Steven, thank you for continuing to produce a great show throughout the year, and I look forward to whatever you have in store for us this coming year or in years following that as well.
So much in
to
store.
To you and fellow listeners, I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, has a wonderful vacation filled with great times with family, you know, food and relaxation. So,
sounds good to me.
Thank you very much, guys. See you later.
Thank you, Adam. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you. I agree with you on Last of Us. I haven't played many games this year, but that one still sticks with me.
It does. Even whenever we were talking about it earlier, you automatically flash back to the just how well imagined the world was, the way the characters interacted, and I would never ever want to touch the multiplayer. I almost think putting multiplayer on a game like that sullies it.
It's not what I want. Like hardcore. I don't want to see another human being do that to my avatar.
Yeah.
But I still think about those characters all the time, and sometimes I wonder what they're doing now, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I wonder what the plan is for a follow-up at all. I mean, it would almost be wrong to do a follow-up, but you know they probably will work on it.
Yeah, I would like do another storyline of other people in the same world. They could do that easily, you know? Maybe
That might be difficult, though, that it wouldn't feel derivative of the first one. You'd have to be... I mean, I guess they'd be pretty... The guy that did it is rather creative, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of like I equate it to the original BioShock and then 2K looking to go back to that well and do BioShock 2 without any of the original developer and just kind of mine that world without any real story being told.
That's the thing is, like, it was so new and different, like this different kind of game you were playing, that no matter what, the sequel won't be like that. It'll be... We want it to be similar, but different, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah, it's very tough whenever you have a game that's that effective.
Okay, Bill, we have another voicemail. Thank you, Adam. This one from Todd. Let's check it out. Todd, what's up?
Entertainment Landfill. Hey, this is Todd from the ATL. Just calling to wish my good buddies, Mulberry Bill, PCZ Steven, and Jay Strum, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I want to say thank you for all that you do, and appreciate everything that you put out just about every week. And
kinda.
I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Monthly.
What was that little giggle?
And I'll keep up with you on your tweets and your Facebooks. Take care. Bye.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate that. And I'm glad that you dig the show, and we'll try to be more consistent next year, you know? And thank you for listening, and I always love your voicemails and stuff like that. And he's in our NIM fan club, so that's awesome. Now, Bill, have you ever heard of a guy named Chinstroker?
Mike?
Yeah.
Chinstroker Mike. I love that guy.
Yeah, we already heard from his wife, who's expecting, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah. And you know what? We didn't say anything, but I believe, maybe I'm in the wrong here, but I think Sean is now engaged also.
Oh, really? Yes,
yeah.
I believe he is. Congratulations, Sean. We always love Sean. And we've got a family here. That's what this show has brought together. We've got a family.
You know, and it's like what Adam said in his voicemail is we all support one another. I think that's the most crucial thing about the way our shows work, the way Andy brought us to the fans of the Hollywood Saloon, and anybody that we can call attention to that we appreciate, you know, it's all this interlocked thing. We're all one big happy family.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to thank Andy for that, too. He did bring us a lot of listeners when he would plug our show on his show.
He did. Even I know Andy told me before that he got a lot of flack from Jansen whenever he did that. And but he stuck to his guns, and I'm very appreciative.
Me too. And if we've held you as listeners, that's awesome, too. It's like, not that good. This is something else. But all right. Chinstroke. Mike, check it out.
Hey, Entertainment Landfill. This is Mike from Chinstroker vs. Spencer. It's been a long time since I've dropped your line. I spoke to you guys on Facebook a fair bit, but I'll drop you a little bit of feedback to say that I'm still listening. Still love the show. It's still my favorite podcast. I don't say that to all the podcasts. I was talking to Bill the other day about on Facebook about how frustrating it can be to not get feedback despite having a lot of listeners. I think a lot of that is down to the fact that there are more podcasts out there.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I think there's a perception that it's very expendable entertainment, something that you listen to in the background, not devaluing it. I think that's just how people listen to it. And I think that and the proliferation of social networking gives people a much easier, sort of lazier way of being in touch with people, but it doesn't really sort of translate. You're not going to go through your Facebook page on the podcast, I hope. Also want to thank you guys for the amount of terrible television that you've saved me from watching, and also some of the good TV that you've turned me on to, such as Almost Human, which I hope continues, despite the fact that apparently Fox are up to their usual bumcraft and have started showing episodes out of order. So I think
they might be on the turn around.
I love that.
Kill that show. I don't know whether it's just too expensive for them, but there you go. So, yeah, I look forward to hearing more from you in the new year. The cheesy rock band Cinderella once sang very insincerely that you don't know what you got till it's gone, and I don't want to test that through you guys. So please keep on trucking, and I'll try to be a more proactive listener in the new year. See you later, guys, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you know, and I feel bad because I should be calling his show more often because Chinstroker versus Punter is what I listened to all summer while I was out doing yard work or, you know, cleaning up trees and all that.
Wait
and
a second.
They had.
Are you one of those listeners who doesn't leave feedback, Bill?
You know what? It's true. I am. I am totally guilty of it. And
you know what's
it's way too easy to be a fan of something and not interact.
I listened to their World War Z episode because, you know, I'd seen World War Z and I was like, oh, let's hear what these guys, these mates. Oh, wait, that's
Australia.
Yeah. Let's hear these chaps think of World War Z. So I was listening to it and then they get a voicemail from Rick from Australia. And
yeah.
Rick is way more blue on their show than he is on our show.
Oh, yeah, he's full-on deviant.
He's, like, mentioning, like, bodily fluids, just completely disgusting. And I was, like, making a face like, oh, what is wrong with him?
Rick, like, Rick has a certain limiter for our show, I think.
Oh, my God. I got a voicemail from Rick, by the way. And
Then just let me compliment Chinstroker versus Punter on their latest show. They did Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. Episode 230 of Chinstroker versus Punter. Excellent. One of my all-time favorite movies. Something that I will at least watch once or twice a year. And they did an excellent show on it.
Awesome. Yeah, they're good. It's good stuff.
Yep.
And dirty voicemails from Rick, if you want to listen to that.
Yes.
And thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. And Hannah. And I have a voicemail from Rick.
Oh, and that they're expecting. Congratulations. I just had to say that, too. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's huge.
They're going to hopefully raise their child to listen to our show.
They're going to have a little chin stroker.
That's true. Explain chin stroker. What does that mean, Bill?
I think high-minded, kind of
a thinker.
Yes, a thinker.
Oh, it's a baby right there.
Very intelligent child.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought. Like you're
contemplates life's your great mysteries.
Hmm. You know what's funny is recently we went to a might as well digress here for no reason. We went on a field trip to the Ross Perot Museum. And I went with
Can I finish?
One of the parents that I was with had a very long goatee, like the kind like maybe 6 inches down from his chin.
Oh, like Captain Lou Albano?
Yeah, and he was like kind of a dude with tats and stuff, seemed like you know, tough dude. He's a nice guy. He was talking to me. And I was just kinda like, hey, do you ever like just stroke it, like kinda go like this, like ever go he was like, no. And I go, well, do you ever like, you know, you're just kind of feeling like smart or whatever. You're just like, just kind of like rubbing it like that. And he goes, no. I was like, no. I mean, have you ever seen Kill Bill and the guy is always doing that? Do you ever do that? No. I was like, I think this guy's going to punch me. So I better not stop asking him questions.
That guy's just not any fun. I mean, how can you not stroke your God, that sounds awful.
I would stroke it all the time.
Yeah, well, I tend to, but no, it. Excuse yeah, me? It's just wrong. It sounds wrong. Maybe that's why he was upset. Did you like just no. say? Do you ever stroke your goatee instead of stroke it?
I was like, hey, do you ever stroke it? He's like, what?
Excuse me,
man. I do every chance I get. What about you? No, and no. I appreciate
please
you
walk
got away.
Away
from me.
Do you mind if I stroke it for you? Yeah.
All right, we have a voicemail. We have a voicemail from Rick, and I want to warn you guys, he does not sound good.
Uh-oh. Did he have his tonsils out?
He had a tonsillectomy, and he sounds bad. And I will tell you this, Rick. I can tell you're miserable, but I love you for sending us a voicemail anyway. The only problem is it causes me physical pain to listen to
oh,
it.
Wow.
So let's check this out. Rick, I wish you nothing but the best and a speedy recovery. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Rick. it feels like it's been so long. Anyway, you can probably hear from my voice. It's pretty messed up. I have my tonsils
no, I
out
hear any
on
difference.
Monday. Yes, and I'm still recovering. Plus, I ran out of painkillers.
He sounds like James Mason.
Pretty sore. but, yeah, I'll go get some painkillers, and I'll wake up, and, you know, I'll have a lovely day.
Oh,
hopefully. Man, it's just, it seems like it's been so long since I've talked to you guys. And I'm just really glad you're doing a show today because I've missed you guys and I always.
Missed you too, Rick.
Oh.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. But what have I watched lately? I've watched something.
Your tonsils leave your throat?
Prisoners with Hugh Jackman.
I heard
Jake
that's
General.
Funny.
That movie was pretty good. All right.
Laugh so, riot.
Jackman did some really good acting. I don't know. I was very impressed. You know, he needs to do more stuff like that and, you know, less crap. And,
okay.
My throat really hurts, so I'm going to go.
Oh, poor guy.
But I don't snore anymore, so that is amazing and life-changing, and
that
I
is
just
cool.
wanted to say have a great show, and I will talk to you when my voice is better.
That's gotta hurt.
Kisses. Dry kisses.
Dry kisses.
Wow, thanks, Rick. And Merry Christmas.
Guy.
Do they celebrate Christmas in Australia, Bill?
Yes, of course they do. Do they have like a special holiday where they like hang
there.
A kangaroo upside down?
Well, where is it where they the Santa Claus steals children and stuff? That
oh, that's in Hungary or something. That's Krampus.
Krampus, yeah.
Yeah, Krampus is the kid stealer. So and I think it's Germany where they have Black Peter, Zweiter Pete.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's Black Pete. It's like a Santa's evil helper or something. It's very racist, actually.
Oh, you gotta love racism.
Yeah, and especially during the holidays.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
And here in the United States, we have the father of the Duck Dynasty for our racism.
I was telling you, Bill, the funny thing about that all that is, like, we
say racist, it's homophobia.
Yeah, well, he's racist, too.
He's a bigot.
Well, there's people in my family that I would never say, hey, uncle, how do you feel about black people? Because I don't want to hear his answer because I know it's bad, you know?
Yeah.
How do you feel about homosexuals? You know, don't ask, you know?
Well, also, the guy that did the interview for GQ that interviewed the Duck Dynasty people, his interview right off the bat is very, it's lacking any taste, and he was baiting. Yeah. Like, he was really trying to get him to say something outrageous, and the guy did.
Yeah. And, if the guy gets fired from his stupid show, I don't care.
I've never watched it. All I know is if I see one more Duck Dynasty product while I'm walking through any store,
I'm going to go insane. Look at the New York Times bestseller list. It was, like, number one. One of those guys wrote a book.
What the hell do they have to write about? Duck callers?
I don't know, but it's funny.
I saw somebody with one on the plane.
I see some people say stuff like, whatever happened to freedom of speech? Nothing. He has the freedom to say whatever he wants. But you know what? Other people have the freedom to complain, and they
did. If you say something stupid, you're going to be called out on it.
It's not like he, like freedom of speech, he's not going to jail for it. It's just people are like, hey, that's offensive. I'm not going to watch your stupid show anymore. I never did watch it. I don't care either way.
I have like a serious aversion to it. Like when I see those like fleece blankets, dolls, cups, beer koozies, everything. Well, when I'm walking through the store,
hey guys, check it out! White trash with money. Let's watch it. You know,
let's give them more money. Let's go. Congratulations for being a redneck. You're entertaining us. Here's more money.
I always see like on Gawker or is it?
He wasn't bright enough to catch that he was being baited into these questions.
Yeah. Well, or
maybe he was, and he just didn't care.
He didn't care.
One of those sites, Bill, like Gawker or something, whenever something like this happens, they show the most horrible tweets about it, where people are like, all he did was quote the Bible, and now they're persecuting him for it. They say the horrible words referring to gay people. And it's just all full of hatred and stuff. And if you read that, I swear part of your soul dies as you're reading all the
absolutely
comments. It's pretty
bad. I grew up with people like that to take the Bible in their own perverse way, and they use it to justify their bigotry.
Right.
You know, they disguise bigotry as piousness, and it's disgusting. I can't take it.
I would say this to that old man, the same thing I would say to my grandfather, like, you know, people get offended by your beliefs, and you can tell your beliefs all you want, but just know that people will say something about it, and you have to live with that, you know?
Right.
Either it bothers you or if it doesn't. This, it lost you your job. Maybe you think about that in the future, if you even care.
Yeah, but then they don't.
I'm not going to tweet about it or Facebook about it, though.
Yeah, I did today, and then I deleted it because I just don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I have too many friends. I just see it plastered all over my Facebook feed. Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? These people were no part of my life before. I don't want them to be part of my life now. Delete.
I want to say to them, come on, try harder not to comment. Come on.
Yeah, that's what my problem is. I just have to try harder.
Now, Bill, before we move on to Hobbit Talk, this dude left us a voicemail. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas and hopefully get a chance to listen to the show live tonight. I actually get to my son's first Christmas, which is pretty fun this year. I'm pretty excited about it. But, hope you guys have a good show. All right? Bye.
Thank you.
I guess we have to go down to our friends' feed list and see who had a son recently.
Yeah. Is it Rick Gutierrez?
No, he's got several kids, though.
He is an older son, but he has a newborn. Maybe?
This is a mystery that we will have to solve.
Now, we have one more voicemail. This one from Sean. I know some of you have heard it already, but some of us haven't. So let's take it out. After this is edited, people go, what is he talking about? No, no one's going to say that because no one listens to the freaking show. Oh, my God. What's going on, Jason? Never mind.
Half empty.
Hey, Jason, Bill, and Steven and Sean from Los Angeles. I just wanted to send a quick voice note to you because I saw you guys are doing a show tomorrow. Just want to wish you guys Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Happy everything. Hope everyone's doing well. I've been real busy the past few months. Haven't been able
with
to leave any voicemails at all, so I'm really sorry about that. But I'm looking forward to the holiday pack that I saw Bill posted on Facebook that you guys just recorded the first chapter, first part of it. So
book one. I'll
definitely donate so I can listen to that sometime soon.
Subtitled Air.
But, yeah, I don't really have too much to say. Just want to say hello and hope everyone's
more.
Doing well. All
right. I want more.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean. Love you, too. And, yes, Bill and I recorded the Lethal Weapon Nim Movie Mini.
Whoa, you're throwing it out there, huh?
Yeah, I'm just going to throw it on out there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So Bill and I did Lethal Weapon, and it's got some post-production work that needs done. And we're also going to, I mean, originally I was hoping this would come out by Christmas, but it's not going to happen, guys. But it's going to come out.
I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's going to come out in January. Go.
I think that it's almost better that it comes out in January because people will be more willing to donate after Christmas.
Everyone's broke right now.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm totally going off a tangent here, but we have a Target credit card.
Okay.
And we have a Target debit card.
Oh, no.
So do you think Heather and I are scared right now? Because we are.
I've been on a couple of like the darker side of the websites that I used to frequent, and that stuff has already hit like massive information you're able to download of people's
Target has a number. Call this number. It's busy. No one ever picks up. We can't cancel the card. We're trying to on the website. There's no way to cancel the credit card. We want to cancel it. But the news even says, if you have any information, if you want information on what's going on, call this number. Call that number. Nobody answers.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about your account, call this number. Nobody answers. So
yeah, anytime I shop at Target, I always use a credit card. I've never used debit. So
they say 40 million people, right? 40 million accounts. There's no way we're not included in that.
No, yeah. You won the lottery on this one. Congratulations. Yeah.
And I know we're not going to be responsible because the debit card's tied to your bank account, whatever. We immediately took care of that with our bank account.
Holy shit, yeah.
Like, wow. Because we can get a hold of our bank, and they were like, well, we're on top of everything, and we're going to issue you guys new cards and all that, so we're taking care of what we want to do is cancel Target cards, and, you know, if they can issue us new ones, that'd be great, but I just want them canceled, you know?
What a cluster F.
It's going to cost Target like $1 billion taking care of this shit.
They'll lower their prices.
Yeah. We'll get better deals on Blu-rays.
I had no idea that Daishikis were $80.
Man, you're gone.
Wow, really?
I was going to order a full Daishiki.
That's expensive.
Like red and green for Christmas. Yeah, it's $80.
Wow. Well, Bill, let's get into entertainment. Woohoo! Stop bringing leaves in the house, dog. Jesus! Oh, sorry, Bill. Baby brings leaf after leaf after leaf after leaf after leaf and chews them all up into a million pieces all over the floor. I am going to kill you! Give me that leaf! All right. Bill, entertainment!
Yes.
Let's talk about The Hobbit 2. It's not called The Hobbit 2.
It is called The Hobbit 2. Hobbit 2 Electric Boogaloo.
It's called... What, baby?
It's called the dried up leaf.
No, it's not called that.
Let's save the museum by breakdancing, hobbits.
It's called The Desolation of Smaug.
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 Smaug. Smaug. I would call it Smaug.
No, I think it's Smaug. I just always call it Smaug.
I would call it Smaug, too. I call it Smaug, but I've heard people say Smaug.
I don't think anybody really knows how to pronounce it.
I mean, didn't Tolkien just pull that out of his ass when he was high on something?
Yes.
It's called Smaug. Okay, dude. Smoke another one. Smoke a bowl, brosif. But anyway, we saw The Hobbit, Bill, in high frame rate.
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't like high frame rate. I haven't met any of them. Everyone loved it in my theater.
Don't yeah, you love I...
When someone goes to the movies, they go, well, everyone in my theater loved it. Oh, really? Did you poll them? No.
Yes. I handed out consultation, or what do you call those? The cards after?
Yeah. Oh, what did you think of high frame rate?
The what?
Did you notice it was different? It was like cranked up? No. Never mind.
Yeah, what's great is I discovered today that my local dirt mall theater, the Cinemark Colony Square, actually has high frame rate in it now.
Yeah.
So I was all ready to head into Columbus to see it on the biggest screen possible, and I just couldn't do it. So I went to the dirt mall and saw it at high frame rate at 4:30.
Well, remember, Stephen, with the first Hobbit, we had to drive way out to a theater on your side of town.
Right.
Remember that? Because they didn't have it over here. Now with this one, they do have it right next to my house at the Cinemark.
Cinemark has been the one, what would you call it, cinema chain?
They keep upgrading.
They invested a shit ton of money into high frame rate projectors. So yeah, they're the big ones in it, and I appreciate that because I wouldn't want to see The Hobbit any other way.
No, me neither.
It's like I said earlier, whenever I got there, I had no problem adjusting. I just it's like maybe your brain learns how to watch 48 mm-hmm. frames per second, but there's something so otherworldly about it. You feel like you're watching a stage play that you're in.
Right, and I totally don't agree with – I read people say it makes everything look fake. I think it makes everything look like a different – place.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Where the dwarves live, what is that called? That whole area, that underground like furnace and shit. That looks incredible.
Yeah, it looks otherworldly. It's the only way I can put it. You've never seen anything like this. You're thrown into it. You are in that world.
It also makes the movement and stuff of CGI characters awesome.
King Smaug look mind-blowing.
Dude, when he finally shows up, it is awesome.
The detail and the life and the performance, I was just blown away.
He's like, where are you, thief? Oh, and let's not forget about the freaking spider scene.
Oh my God.
Dude, that was awesome. And I love when he puts on the ring and then he can hear them talking.
Yeah. I'm hungry. This would be delicious.
Did you notice after he took off the ring, he could still understand them?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when he took off the ring, they were still speaking in English.
Dude, those spiders were scary too, man.
He was freaking brutal with that sticker. That thing, man, I mean, he just kept stabbing the shit out of them spiders.
Oh, I love that. He was like, mine.
Yes, and then he has that like realization of what's happening to him.
It's like, oh, wait a second. Holy shit. Who was I?
Turning into Gollum.
But wow, man, what can I say about The Hobbit? I know a lot of people like to shit all over it, but I have such a great time watching
these movies. It's so much fun, and there's so much joy in this one. The barrel sequence.
That whole barrel escape scene, it was so
freaking
awesome.
I can't even wrap my mind around how they choreographed that.
Oh, I know.
How long that must have taken to not only choreograph the rapids, but then the barrel movements, but then the movements of the orcs and the movements of the elves. And
I love how they all have they only have a couple of weapons they keep throwing it to each other to use, yeah. And then they throw it to somebody else. And that one dude, when he rolls up and he's stuck in the barrel and it's like armor.
Yes!
That was so cool.
Oh my God, I was alone for most of the movie, and then a crowd came in of kids, and you should have heard their reactions. They were just eating it up. They were cracking up. They were loving it. Even up to like whenever the orcs were getting decapitated by Legolas.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Oh man, I love it so much. I have a great time in those movies.
See it again.
And you know what? This is honest. I didn't have to pee at all through the movie.
Neither did I. I made sure of it.
Because that'll happen in 2-hour movies. You're like, I gotta pee so bad. But I was like, I was so entertained. And like I said, man, CGI, like all whatever those things are that are chasing them, are they trolls or?
They're orcs.
Orcs, the ones who are working for Saruman, or
yes, and I loved that reveal. Wasn't that reveal awesome?
Yes,
that it was Sauron.
Yes, Sauron.
The way the eye turns into the
it's like
outline
the
and
silhouette of a man, but a pupil of an eye kind of thing.
Yeah, that was. I had so much freaking fun with this movie. I was my jaw was on the floor afterwards because I thought the first Hobbit was mind blowing and the city of trolls
mm-hmm. Those are goblins, I think that was
goblins,
the goblin king and all that
yeah.
Shit, I remember that in the movie. I was like smiling and giddy. It was so awesome, the tracking shots with the camera and everything.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about what's great about high frame rate, you know. You know, when we watch regular movies, whenever the camera pans left or right, it always looks like shit in movies. You can't focus on what it's... In high frame rate, all that swooping camera stuff looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really kind of hard because I'm still kind of on that high.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just got out of it at 7:30. But I really want to go see it again sometime this weekend. In fact, I'm going to try on Sunday. I'm going to go into Columbus to the Marcus Theaters. That's the big high class one that has the dream loungers and the Atmos sound and all that. And I'm going to go
nice.
See it there.
And what, you know, I really like Tauriel, the, Evangeline Lilly's character from Lost. I thought that was cool because there are no women in these freaking movies.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
She was strong and beautiful.
She was a badass. I mean, I know in the other movies they had, like, Liv Tyler, but she wasn't in the action. She wasn't fighting or anything. This chick, and then I've read people say, oh, nice fan fiction, Edna Chick. She's not even in the books. It's like, you know what? What the hell?
Go read
ahead.
The book.
Throw something else in there.
Well, this is you know, Jackson and Boyens, and it's not fan fiction as much as it's almost more fan service to Tolkien. They're expanding on characters.
Yeah, is Legolas in The Hobbit, Bill?
Oh, you know God. Yes, I believe so.
Because he's awesome in this, too. It's cool.
I haven't read The Hobbit since I was 13.
Did you like that part where he gets a bloody nose and he's like, my blood.
Yeah, and they actually made him look younger. I mean, that was impressive, the work they did on him.
That whole what was that village called? That fishing village? That whole sequence where like all the orcs are like climbing on the
lake,
reefs and stuff.
Lake City.
It's
Lake City.
I don't know. It's some kind of,
I can't freaking remember.
Rivers. I can't remember.
But it's awesome. That whole,
yes.
like, action scene and stuff. And the guy Bard and his family.
Yes.
And it turns out he's related to the guy who was supposed to have shot down the dragon and stuff. All that stuff's awesome.
Yeah, and the cliffhanger ending was so perfect. You should have heard everyone in the theater just went, no!
Yeah, they just
hooked him. I bet you Peter Jackson laughs his ass off when he sees it with people.
How fantastic does it look when Smaug like goes and starts blowing the fire everywhere? It's like, whoa!
Yeah, and then whenever the furnaces kick, I mean, the whole theater was just shaking. It was, and then as he busts out and goes, I am fire. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh.
Well, I love the first beginning part with Bilbo in there with him, and he's hiding the whole time as he's talking. I ate that stuff up, man. I loved it.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, it's so cool, man. Love it. That whole sequence, the whole smog sequence, I wanted to keep going on. And I wondered if the movie was going to end with his death and then keep going, you know, like to the third movie. But I kind of like that they, I hope I'm not spoiling anything, but it continues in the part three.
Do we have a title on part three yet?
Not that I know of. I don't know.
Because I was just, it's There and Back Again.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense, because that's the name of the book, right?
Yeah, and it'll probably play right into the Lord of the Rings film, so.
Awesome. So, you know, like, it won't all be happy.
No,
it won't.
But I
guess years pass before Lord of the Rings happens, because.
We don't have to wait a whole year for There and Back Again. It's coming out in the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, summer 2014.
I thought we'd have to wait till Christmas.
Next Christmas, yeah.
Thank God we don't have to wait that long.
Wow, that's cool. But it's a lot of fun, man. And all I know is Steven's really excited about Anchorman 2. So,
Steven loves Lamp.
I just went down a big slide, Bill.
I would take a whole film that was just Steve Carell's character, Brock. I think I die laughing every scene that he has in Anchorman.
My favorite part is, like, you killed a guy with a trident.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you killed a guy. Now, yeah, Bill, when are you going to go see Saving Mr. Banks with Tom Hanks?
You know what? I'm going to take my mom to see it. Probably tomorrow, actually.
I honestly thought, I was like, hey, that looks cool and stuff. And I didn't even think about until I read one review where a guy was talking about what horseshit it was. That basically.
Oh, absolutely.
That it was like self-congratulatory Disney thanking themselves for Mary Poppins. And the woman was such a bitch who actually wrote the book and was difficult. Yeah. When he's like, actually, she's the artist who wrote the book, and Disney is a big corporation, and they're shitting on the individual. If you read into it, but they turned it into the sappy holiday movie. And then Harlan Ellison came out with this, he had seen it, and he just said, you know, hey, go see the movie, enjoy it, but just know it's all bullshit.
Yeah, I think it was LA Weekly, the headline was that it was a, corporate borderline sexist spoonful of lies.
Right. It's just like, also that Disney didn't even invite her to the premiere of Mary Poppins.
No, no.
That's how little of her he thought, you know.
Disney gave her the money that she wanted. I think acquiesced to one request, and that was that. She wanted nothing to do with it.
Right. And she comes to visit there. And I think in reality, Disney didn't even want to meet with her. He didn't want to be around her.
No.
Or something.
Walt Disney was an asshole, honestly. I know there's a lot of people that love Walt Disney and Disney World and all that, but ultimately Walt Disney was a massive prick.
Well, yeah, I love Disney World and all that. And I know that happens a lot in life where the people we admire for what they did, they were hard people to be around.
Yeah, never meet your heroes.
It's just like, I know, I've heard James Cameron's a real hard to work with kind of guy, you know? I love his movies, but I may not want to take orders from him, you know? Ah, what the hell, I would. I'd want to work on one of his movies, but it's tough. People like that are tough. They demand a lot from people, and
if they didn't, nothing would get done.
Right. Like, a lot, you know, people say Stanley Kubrick was a real prick, but he's a talented prick.
Yeah, a lot of people say that Walt Disney was a bigoted anti-Semite asshole, but, you know, everyone has their flaws.
That can't be true. No. That's not what the movie says, Bill.
Come on, kid.
Well, there's not a scene where he talks about how wonderful Leni Riefenstahl's films are?
I don't know.
Mm.
Who's that?
The Triumph of the Will, the Hitler's personal filmmaker.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's do What's Arantiva? What do you say?
All right.
I want to see American Hustle by David.
Oh, my God. Russell. I just want to see Jennifer Lawrence in it. Just cut her scenes and give them to me, please.
It looks like a crazy film. I want to see that. That's probably the next film I really, really want to see. All right, guys, let's check out What's on our TiVo. What do you say, Bill and Steven? We've only been doing the show for 4 hours. All right, let's do it. Now, we're just going to briefly talk about a few things. We're going to take a break, Bill, and then we're going to go right into the news. Because I didn't actually prepare any clips because this is our big Christmas episode.
We always, you know, free ball it on these episodes anyways.
Hurry up, the store's closing.
Yeah, the store's closing, Bill. So I just wanted to, we're all watching Almost Human, right?
I like the Wizard of Oz.
We all know that we're all watching Almost Human. Unfortunately, yes. Fox is airing them out of order. I'm really enjoying the show, but there is a tonal kind of thing happening in each episode where
it's so uneven.
Like, they're really close as partners, and then the next episode, he's really bickering about to him and stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's disconcerting, obviously,
Why is that a good idea to suits running networks?
Because they're assholes. They don't understand storytelling, or they don't care to, or maybe they're just being dicks because they spent so much money on this show and it's not bringing in the ratings they hoped.
God, I really like it, and I want it to keep. I really think it'll get better and better, and then they'll lay down a mythology and a story arc, and it'll be pretty badass, you know? Because they set up in the thing in the pilot with his girlfriend was involved with those guys. Nothing else about that.
Nothing.
And I remember, like, Fringe, you know, it took a while to get going on a major storyline, and I was hoping this would do that. Because I love the look of the show. And I love the actors. I love Michael Ealy and I love Carl Urban on the show.
Yeah, and Michael Ealy was particularly good in this past episode where he ran into another Dorian model.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, it's such a good show, and it's so well done. It's really well written. Urban's fantastic. Lily Taylor's fantastic. I don't even mind Mika Kelly. You know,
Why would you? She's great to look at.
Oh, isn't she, though?
They need to give her more to do. I want her to be more involved with Carl Urban's character.
Yes, Jason.
What I liked on... What?
I was just replicating.
Oh, you're doing the whole drop! You're doing...
No, Jason.
No, it was like...
It's not funny, Jason.
That's not funny, Jason.
But I want to see, like... Remember how on Fringe they eventually put Peter and, like... Olivia together. I want strong relationships, you know?
Me too. I want strong relationships.
Scares me, Jason.
Oh, sorry. Well, you're going to have to do something else on the show, honey.
I'm so scared that this is it. These 8 episodes that are almost over 7. I can't remember how many they made.
But we know that it's the fault of Fox.
It is 100% the fault of Fox, but could they do this with less money? I mean, the show has such a stylized look, I don't think they could get away with it.
I don't know. We'll see how it's run. I mean, I don't think J.H. Wyman had that much money on Fringe, and it looked great.
Well, let's just hope they get another chance.
Me too. I agree. And let's see. What else? What else are we watching? Blacklist. Steven, you like The Blacklist?
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched it. I've got it lined up for this holiday. I'm going to just binge on it.
I'm digging that show, Bill. I like
it.
Very good.
I'm really digging Sleepy Hollow. I think it's probably the most fun on television right now.
Yes. See, that show, they have a great relationship between the characters, too. Don't you agree?
Yeah, they do. And I love that they keep bringing John Noble back, the Sin Eater. And
he's fantastic. He should be on every show.
He should. He should be on Almost Human.
He should. I want him on Almost Human.
He would be great if he was the father of the scientist that they work with.
I want him to be Walter Bishop on that show. He's time traveled.
Well, where he ended up after Fringe.
Yeah, I want him just to be the same character.
And it's now him traveling with Carl Urban and Dorian.
Exactly.
I can't remember Carl Urban's character for the life of me.
Dorian Michael Ealy?
No, Carl Urban. What's his character's name?
John Kenix.
Kenix. Yes, it's that hardcore sci-fi badass name. Kenix.
Yeah.
I was going to make a bologna sandwich.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I think it's fun when he's bickering at him and stuff like that.
It is.
Good stuff. And The Walking Dead mid-season finale. Steven, were you blown away by that?
Yeah, it was crazy. I enjoyed that.
It was a good build-up there. It was interesting how they did the two self-contained governor episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the finale where he decides he wants to take over the prison stuff. What did you think of that, Bill, with the little girl playing in the mud?
I thought that was hilarious. I laughed so hard when that happened.
I'm sorry, but honestly, if I lived in that world, my daughter would never go 10 feet from me. She would not be out in the open doing anything.
And you certainly wouldn't be on top of an RV.
There would never be hide and seek or any shit like that. She's playing inside with a coloring book. I'm sorry.
Well, even out in the open, like at a riverside, they foreshadowed it with the zombie trying to walk across.
Yeah. Mommy, I'm making mud pies. The hell you are. Get your ass back in here, okay?
Mommy, my neck is getting eaten. Oh, my God.
Well, what about this? Okay, her daughter's playing in the mud. She sees a walker coming across the water. Honey, get inside right now. No, she just sits there and watches it, and she's like, Oh, okay, everything's fine.
Mommy, I'm working on a really important art piece.
I'm making you lunch with mud pie, Mama. But I like the zombie was right there in the mud, like, you know, he's like been stuck in the mud. How sucky was it for him that whole time?
Well, you got to think she was playing in his house, and that's just only appropriate for the guests to bring something.
Oh, lovely meal for me here. I don't know why he talks like that, but anyway.
Well, he just had his tonsils out.
The whole problem I have with all of it, and I don't get me wrong, I love the wrap-up to the season. I thought it was good. I do think they killed one of the best characters on the show. I think Robert Kirkman has his head up his ass.
Well, I think not only does Kirkman have his head up his ass, just the people in general running the show have their head up the ass, because it's a collective ass that they have their head up. There could be so much they're doing, but it's so lazy at times. And we knew what was going to happen to Herschel because of the episode they gave him
a really strong self-contained episode where he was awesome. Well, let me ask you this. Why did Lily or whatever their names are leave their apartment building to go on the road and immediately be in jeopardy? They were absolutely fine where they lived.
Yeah, right? And they had plenty of food.
They never gave a motivation for them to leave.
And once the governor told them how to kill them, you know, they could have cleared out that whole apartment complex.
Clear out your apartment building. Because he even says, like, you know, he's going to leave. And she goes, don't leave us. Take us with you. And cut to them in the car. Why wouldn't he say, we're staying here. This is the safest place I've been. You know,
why did she have to have him? Like, I thought that was kind of a weak thing to do to make a woman have to have a man sort of thing.
Yeah, I need a man.
Like, oh, I have to stay with you.
Right. I can understand
the only
if
way
she's
you
like
could say it is because he's been out there so long on his own and still alive.
Give her a line where she's like, we don't have my dad anymore. You could help me take care of my daughter or something like that. They could stay there. So how about this? They stay in the apartment building. He says, there's nothing out there. This is the best place to be. And then show a herd arrive. And he's like, we got to get the hell out of here. And then he realizes they're not safe. Do something like that. But there's no motivation for them to leave.
Nope.
And then as soon as they get in that truck, they break down. And then they're on the road. And then there's walkers everywhere. I did like that scene where he's like, we got to get out of here. And they're all stuck in the mud. And he's just staring at them, like, fascinated by it. That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
It was well done. There's moments where I'm like, hey, this isn't bad. And then they go on and they do something really dumb.
The show
It doesn't reach that height. It doesn't climb to excellence. It kind of stays at this kind of, oh, that was pretty good. That was a good episode.
Yeah, it sticks right between mediocre and pretty good.
And that finale and the whole shootout and everything, it was a really, it was entertaining and everything. They did that thing that I hate, where I was telling Steven this, where they show people going, and they're shooting, but they don't show what they're shooting at.
No.
They don't show.
Everyone's an awful shot. Except for the kid.
The little kid. Right between the eyes. Whoa!
And I that's another one of those lazy things where they work up your disdain for a non-essential character so that whenever something happens to that character, you're like, yeah! And it's like, wait, why did I feel like that?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so manipulative. It's lazy.
Well, like, when they killed off Dale, you know, he was like the moral center. They replaced him with Herschel. And I have a feeling that they will introduce a new old man character to take that place because they have to keep having the moral center character, you know?
I have a feeling that Carol will be back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They set that up where she's out there somewhere. But another thing is, like, I do like the idea of them out on the road and scavenging, but I don't know how long that's going to happen, you know?
I'm going to have to go back to the stack of trade paperbacks that I have and see where the books go after the prison, because it ended similarly. I mean, I was just hoping that the tank wouldn't show up, and then it did. I mean, it was handled well. It was handled much better than it was in the books.
Yeah, I liked the tank bit. And I liked Daryl putting the grenade down the turret. Really do that, though? Will the grenade roll all the way down into the tank?
Well, the only way is if they close the breach.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't do anything.
I mean, because I've seen, like, a Band of Brothers, they'll blow up the barrel and it'll go and just splay out and it's ruined. But I don't know if it'll roll all the way into it.
Well, it's like Steven said, it's an old enough tank that if the breach was open, like if they were loading it, yes. Mm-hmm. But
I wanted to see a sniper in the prison, like, picking guys off, and then he doesn't notice the tank turret going, just like in Saving Private Ryan, Parker, get up! Blows him up. That's, like, my favorite part of that movie, Barry Pepper. He loves Dr. Pepper.
Yes, when you want to be a Pepper, too?
Johnny Goodboy Tyler.
Johnny Goodboy Tyler.
He's the coolest character in Saving Private Ryan.
Tig needed to be in that, too.
Tig.
Because that's all I can think of is Tig in Battlefield Earth.
I know.
Flying that Harrier jet.
I know.
Good old Tig.
I love it. I love Tig. Let's talk about Sons of Anarchy. What'd you think of that finale, Bill?
Oh, what a freaking bullshit finale.
Wow.
That show, Kurt Sutter gets worse with every episode. To the point where it all hinges on such a simple idea of communication.
Yes, I hate that. All someone had to do is pick up a phone and call a certain character.
Yes.
You know? And there was an early season of Sons of Anarchy where Tara and Gemma kind of became like a duo. And there was one episode where they shoot up this one bitch's car and get in a fight with her, and they're, like, fighting together. I love that dynamic of them being having each other's back.
Yes, and the mom and the wife.
Yeah, turning them against each other was such a mistake because it was so boring.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to be. It's bad enough that we've got to deal with the incompetence of the Sons of Anarchy. But then to introduce the fact that you have two women that love the same man that are now going to be at each other because they also love the same children. It's just, it's exhausting.
Cut to those scenes, I would start looking at the guide to see what's coming on tonight. And I'd wait till the scene's over. But yeah, that show, I mean, it's going to be the last season, but it's about time. It needs to wrap up.
It really does.
I've loved things about the show, and it has a dark sense of humor that it makes me laugh at times. Like, Tig's character makes me laugh, just how wrong it all is.
I love Tig in almost every episode. The best episode this season was with Walter Goggins as Venus. Mm-hmm. There's moments of greatness in that show, but it is so inconsistent and so poorly written at times.
Yeah, it just
I just don't get a lot of people's undevoted love. They just, or what am I? I'm saying it wrong, aren't I? It's just they will make excuses for this show.
Well, yeah, I would say that they started losing me last season. I think the season when nothing ever happened to Ron Perlman's character, and I was like, what are they waiting for? It was really real mistake not to kill him right away when it just needed to be done in the storyline, and they kept stretching it out. It started to drive me crazy. Really did.
Yeah, I think I was lost around the third season, but I still kept watching out of this morbid curiosity of how much darker that Kurt Sutter would take it, because that seems to be his MO is let's make this as dark as possible because he wants people to be uncomfortable. I don't know.
Yeah.
To see the way the season finale was just it honestly pissed me off. It disgusted me on a level that it was like, you know what? I don't even need to see the last season, because if he's going to take it this far, then there's nothing else to be done. It's just, the show makes me angry.
It does me too. Or I'm just like, oh, that didn't need to happen. But, guess what show's coming back in February, Bill?
What?
Hannibal, season 2.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. I'm excited. It's going to be awesome.
I just bought my sister the Hannibal first season on DVD for Christmas.
Oh, cool. It's like, this will cheer you up.
Well, she keeps asking me for crime shows. You know, her and her husband love The Wire. I told them, watch Luther from the UK. That's a great show with Idris Elba.
I haven't watched that yet, but I do love Idris Elba.
Yeah, I told him, you know, watch Sherlock, and now I'm like, well, I'm kind of tapped out. I watch Hannibal, and she's like, but I hate horror. And I was like, this show is so much more than horror. It's psychological crime mystery. It's the character building, the world itself. You won't be able to sleep at night if you watch it.
Yes, but the atmosphere and the production values, the acting, it's got it all, man.
It's one of the best shows on television, and thank God that Brian Fuller is finally able to run a show his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved his season of Dead Like Me, and then when he left, that show just turned to shit.
Yeah.
And he just has a really unique vision for his shows.
When will people learn not to fire their showrunners?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've recorded Mob City, but I haven't got to watch it yet. Have you got
Neither have I,
yet?
No.
I read some people like the ratings weren't like through the roof, and someone was like, well, it looks like Walking Dead wasn't because of Frank Darabont. It's like, oh, shut up.
Everyone is the armchair critic. They think they know exactly what's going on.
It's like, no, he makes good quality stuff, and he moved on to something else. I don't expect to have Walking Dead type. People watch that show for the zombies, period.
Yes.
You know?
It's the kill of the week. Kill. I mean, even on Talking Dead, they do that thing where, you know, let's say goodbye to the zombies. Here's our kills of the week.
Right.
That's why people watch it.
They've overdone that too, where I'm not amused by it anymore.
Well, Talking Dead, I just have issues with. I just think it's unnecessary and it's filler that doesn't need to be there.
There's this kind of intimate type of interview that makes me uncomfortable. Sometimes it happens on Conan too, where I can listen to an interview, but I can't look at it. It's like, I just uncomfortable. It's
I watched the Talking Dead after the Herschel death, and it made me uncomfortable because it was a funeral. Yeah. These characters were, you know, these actors are so invested in their characters to have them ripped away. They were having true emotional reactions on television, and it was uncomfortable to watch.
Robert Kirkman was there too, and they were talking about, like, you know, I was pissed when I found out I was dying, and I would have been like, are you proud of yourself, Kirkman, killing this character off, you know?
No one's safe.
Was it really necessary for the storyline? Or what about the whole baby, Judith? Like, you just see a bloody car seat, but they don't reveal. How shitty is that if they reveal? I honestly believe the baby is alive. I bet like, Beth grabbed it or something.
He's not going to make the same mistake that he made in the comic, having a bullet go through it and Rick's wife.
No, don't you remember how she died?
I thought she got killed while she was running away and Laurie was holding her.
They do, but she gets blown to smithereens by the tank. Like, she's there 1 second, holding the baby, kaboom!
Well,
just blown
yeah, that's,
up.
That's what I meant, but yeah.
Vaporized. And I remember reading that comic, I laughed out loud. I was like, you gotta be kidding me, that's hilarious. This guy knows nothing, you know? It's just the way he handles characters. Nobody's safe. It's like, no, it's ridiculous. Don't you get that?
He's one of those writers that I don't get the devotion. I've read – he has a series of books called Invincible that are freaking awful. I bought like the first three trade paperbacks of those and gave up on them. He's just – he's not my cup of tea. I don't get the devotion.
Yeah, me neither. I think he sucks. But I mean, I like the show and stuff, but it drives me nuts at the same time. Well, that's enough TiVo talk, guys. I got nothing. I have been watching Bakery Boss.
I watched one the other night.
It's Kitchen Nightmares with Bakery's a buddy. Hey, what can you not like?
How does that even work?
It's the same thing. He goes into a down on his
bakeries
luck.
Bakeries that are down on their luck and tries to turn them around.
He does all the same shit that Gordon Ramsay does. They remodel it. They convince them that their food sucks and all that stuff. It's exactly the same.
Well, that's exactly why the bakery isn't making any money. Who wants to buy a shitty cake?
Yeah.
And who cares what it looks like? I go into the worst looking bakeries in the world and they have the best cakes.
Yeah, there's one lady, she had a bakery and she ordered in everything. Like, she just got it prepackaged.
It was one of the Jewish.
They made the Jewish bread, and that's all. Yeah. So it's the same formula, Bill. It's the same. I watched that Rocco Despirito show.
Oh shit! I forgot about that. I love Rocco.
A Restaurant Divided. It's the same thing, Bill. It's Kitchen Nightmares, isn't it? Only they try two different menus. Like, it's a dad and a father. He's like, I like it of seafood, and the other guy's like, no, Italian.
We need to be so a they steak joint.
They try both in whichever.
Let's do seafood meatballs.
Yeah, with clams in it. Oh yeah, delicious. All right, Bill. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're going to take a break. What do you say, Bill?
Yes, I've got to drain the main vein.
What does that mean? Oh, okay, we'll be right back, guys.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
To learn more about the celebration of Christmas, the Library of Congress suggests these books, Celebrating Christmas Around the World by Herbert H. Wernicke, The Christmas Tree Book by Philip V. Snyder, and Guinness Book of Christmas, edited by Tom Hartman. These and many other informative books are waiting for you in your local library and bookstore. Visit them. They'll be happy to help you read more about it.
Have a Merry Melodies Christmas on Bugs Bunny's Looney Christmas Tales. Then, it's an all-new holiday special, Santa Bear's High-Flying Adventure. Two Christmas treats Thursday.
If you think oat bran cereals are the way to go for overall nutrition, we're about to turn the tables on you. A leading consumer magazine just rated Nabisco shredded wheat ahead of all the leading oat bran cereals in nutritional value. That's how much fiber, protein, vitamins, and minerals per calorie we have, and how little sugar and fat.
Gee, thanks.
And that should turn your ideas about nutrition around to Nabisco shredded wheat.
It's a world of celebration, of stockings hung in expectation, of winking lights and wintry wonderlands. M&M's go with the season, moms and Santas know the reason. M&M's melt in your mouth, not in your hand. All the world loves M&M's, they're a world of pure milk chocolate joy. All the world loves M&M's, they're neat to eat, fun to share, a part of Christmas everywhere. They go hand in hand with fun for everyone.
All the world loves M&M's,
they're a world of pure milk chocolate joy.
All the world loves M&M's, they go hand in hand with fun for everyone.
M&M's chocolate candies. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Ho, ho, ho!
It's the most popular Saturday morning show in America. As the Smurfs continue to face... Then it's the Gary Coleman Show. Especially for systems from Atari, the video game that lets you help E.T. get home. Just in time for Christmas. Happy Holidays from Atari.
There are games in it,
dolls in it,
wall-to-wall savings to fit your list.
Presents from Venture,
that's giving wisdom.
Venture's the one stop for most wanted toys.
To light up the eyes of good girls and boys.
See what's been asked for.
You'll have a ball.
The most wanted toys.
Venture's the place with them all.
Come on in, you'll go home with a smile.
Save that Venture. Yeah, save with style.
Taste all the ways. Butter helps your holidays. That time of year is here.
Holiday baking deserves real butter. Bake a cinnamon roll tree, sugar cookies, marzipan, and more. Bake ahead. Real Butter's baked-in flavor improves with age.
Taste all the ways. Butter helps you say happy holidays throughout the year.
Disc photography by Kodak. It's changing the way people take pictures.
Picture. A brand new world.
The Kodak disc camera advances the film automatically, so you can get the pictures you may have missed before. And it knows when to flash, and can flash again in 1 1/3 seconds. All you do is push one button. The Kodak Disc 4000 camera. Bet you know someone who'd love one.
Picture a brand new world.
Pass it to your sister, son. Think you can handle that, Kathy?
Yes,
I guess they don't feed you up there, Cully.
I like this ground.
Rare enough for you, Dan?
Perfect.
Mm. Just perfect.
Nice crispy end piece.
Whoa, that's your favorite, son.
With all the good things we have to enjoy at this time of year, sometimes we forget to stop and be thankful.
This kid just got a video game for Christmas. He can look forward to years of fun trying to reach 18 million. This kid just got a Commodore VIC-20 home computer. He can look forward to learning basic computer language, doing his own programs, playing some games along the way, and maybe even inventing his own games. Oh, a final argument for the VIC-20. Someday, both kids will be looking for a job.
Here's pink and pretty Barbie.
Barbie's got big plans for this weekend.
Has she got the clothes?
Sure, this whole pink wardrobe.
Pink and pretty Barbie doll comes with everything you need to change around and create more than 20 different glamorous looks.
This little cape can be a hat, too.
Ooh, feels furry.
Sparkly jewelry.
Barbie, you've got enough clothes for a whole week.
Pink and pretty Barbie doll comes with fashion accessories and a change around wardrobe from Mattel.
Indy, over here.
Indiana Jones, at your service, Toad. Ah!
Indiana Jones and other action figures new from Raiders of the Lost Ark Collection, each sold separately.
Watch him, Cairo, swordsman.
Yeah, watch my swing.
Yikes!
All downhill from here, swordsman. You'll be sorry, Jones.
Tricked you again, Toad.
Indiana Jones, Toad, and Cairo Swordsman action figures, each sold separately from Raiders of the Lost Ark Collection, new from Kenner.
New Hot Wheels Inside Track Race Set.
Wow!
With 7 feet of pull-out track, a play tune-up garage, and two hot ones you can race outside or inside.
Hot Wheels Inside Track.
Underwind.
No way.
Kick the glass.
And race
the track inside the case. You can take most every place.
Hot Wheels Inside Track Race Set comes with 7 feet of track and two Hot Ones cars, not for use with some Hot Wheels vehicles. New from Mattel.
New girls ready?
Don't come in, Dad. Barbie's taking her bubble bath.
This is the Barbie bubble bath. You have to put it together. Magic Curl Barbie doll sold separately.
Ooh, some mini bubbles. Time to rinse off now, Barbie.
Wow, the shower really works.
Doesn't Barbie look pretty, Dad?
Maybe I should try a Barbie bubble bath.
Barbie bubble bath comes with everything shown. Magic Curl Barbie doll sold separately. From Mattel.
Because Christmas is your family's special time and you want everything at its best, give a gift you'll be proud to give. An appealing 10 by 13 wall display size portrait of someone very special from Sears Portrait Studio. Right now you can get a package of 14 gift portraits, including the wall portrait, for $19.95. But hurry, December 11th is the last day to get Sears portraits taken in time for Christmas gifts. Trust Sears Portrait Studio for your Christmas portraits.
My daughter lives just a few blocks away, so when she gave me these long-distance gift certificates, I couldn't figure out why. Well, she said, "Mom, you taught me that sharing is the best gift of all. So use these to share yourself with friends far away."
To order a beautiful card and five $5 long-distance certificates, call your telephone business office.
Eileen, my daughter just gave me the nicest gift, and I want to share it with you.
With Pillsbury Sugar Cookies, you can help kids create their own Christmas treats.
I made a little angel. Actually, my mommy helped. It was easy.
This Santa has a problem.
My Santa's cheeks got chubby in the oven.
You know how I made it? Frosting and gumdrops.
The wing broke off and I ate it.
Everyone loves Pillsbury Cookies, fresh and hot.
Ooh.
Ho, ho!
Eating's the best, no problem.
Sometimes it's hard to pick the right gift idea for somebody special. There's one present that's right for everybody. Gift certificates from McDonald's. 50 cents each. $5 for the Book of Ten. Merry Christmas.
Man, you're gone.
We sure are, man. Seriously, though, I was kind of nuts earlier, Bill. I'm going to apologize for that.
Oh, that's fine. We got it all figured out with a little update.
Yeah, that's all it took.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, as I told Steven, remind me, when in doubt, update. Hopefully there will be an update. Hopefully it'll never happen again. What am I talking about? Now, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to pull some up as we're doing it because in the craziness, I didn't pull any.
Excuse me while I cough.
Yes, yes, Jesus Christ, yes.
All right, Bill, let's do some news!
What's a football?
All right, Bill. What do we have in the news? Did you find anything yet?
I'm trying to
pull it
up.
Hey, I have a news story for you.
All right.
The Duck Dynasty guy.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
He doesn't like the gays. He thinks because in the Bible he read it, they don't like the gays and they're going to hell.
Mm. There was an excellent post on there on one of my liberal Facebook groups that it was like, well, if he doesn't, you know, if he's following the Old Testament so closely, he better watch out about that verse in Leviticus that says you shouldn't keep your hair unkempt.
Yeah. So what's the, I know that there's men who have those long ass beards. Dude, I get like 2 weeks of growth. It's so itchy. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I can, the most I can do is about 1 month before I want to scratch my face off.
Man, I can't even make it a month.
I'm sorry, 1 week, 1 month, jeez.
I can't make it, man. I can't do the chin stroking like that.
Yes, you don't want to stroke that. Okay. Let's start off with, this is interesting.
Oh.
It turns out a lot of us are shopping naked.
What?
Yeah, apparently. If you're putting off going to the mall, afraid of holiday crowds, it's better to stay home and shop online naked. This is apparently a thing now.
There's a good chance you'll see me naked.
Yes, PayPal released a survey on holiday shopping behaviors and determined something a lot of us already knew. It's ugly out there. At the mall, 2 out of 3 of those surveyed said they've witnessed drivers in the parking lot cut each other off. Well, there's a shocker. More than half have seen pushy strangers, shoppers yelling at store employees, and 53% have seen someone park in a handicapped spot who wasn't supposed to.
Asshole.
Which is true. I see that regularly, and it always seems to happen whenever I'm with my dad, who actually is in a wheelchair.
Wow.
Now, granted, a lot of people have those placards, and I have one in my car, and I still refuse to use it whenever I am out by myself. That's just there's other people that should or could be using that.
Because it would be wrong, right?
Well, it's just morally, you know, it's like you've got to have a certain amount of scruples, and you know, you see people do that and they just aren't cool,
right?
And
a dick move.
I mean, really, the holiday seasons bring out the worst in people in general, so I tend not to go shopping during Christmas. Even though, let's like today, whenever I was at the mall going to see the theater, going to the theater to see The Hobbit. It's nice when it, because everything's so Christmassy, and I think that's part of the reason why you would want to go to the mall is kind of take in the sights and smells, and you lack a certain amount of that whenever you do it all online, but there's just, people are really annoying.
This is a full-blown 4-alarm holiday emergency here.
Exactly.
It is.
It's like, if you work in retail, I can understand you hate Christmas. I spent many years in retail, and it makes you hate it, that time of year. But when you're not in it, it's like, oh, this is kind of nice, you know?
Yeah, my sister has worked in retail pretty much her entire career now. I think she's regional manager for Miserable. Bed Bath & Beyond. and there, you'd be amazed at some of the things people do. That she tells me about. I always tell her she needs to start like a blog, like Nightmares of Retail or something. But whenever they work you 18 hours, you can't really have time for that.
Right.
It's insane. Here's another strange story out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. A mother who's been baking cookies for kids on her children's bus for 15 years has been shut down by an anonymous complaint.
Ooh, cookies.
What? Shutting down the cookie lady?
I know. Every Friday, Ann Talbot has met the school bus in her subdivision with a basket of cookies. Began as a thank you to the bus driver.
You're going to call the police on me?
You know, she couldn't give the driver a cookie without giving one to every child. She didn't live in the suburbs until she turned 40. Look at the way these houses are designed. They're not designed with a friendly neighborliness community in mind. I've been in most of the houses in my neighborhood. People live such busy lives. You don't talk to your neighbors. You don't know your neighbors. So she decided she would just start doing it, but somebody complained, and she received a cease and desist letter of dispensing of cookies.
What?
Here they are. Well, right here. Boom. Out the ass. Cookies out the ass. You want some cookies? What is what?
Yeah, maybe somebody just is really unhappy with their child eating cookies.
And I hate happiness.
Sounds like my niece's third grade teacher. This week they had their pajama party, kind of the holiday thing.
Uh-huh.
And everyone got to watch the Polar Express except my niece's class because the teacher doesn't like it.
She doesn't like the movie?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's a thing with like the dead eyes that the characters have. I don't know.
But I hate the Uncanny Valley.
Yes, it's irritating to me. So no movie for you, kids.
It looks creepy.
You know, you and Heather might want to go to Target this weekend as they're offering 10% discount after the hacking incident.
Oh, wow.
And then get bought by somebody else.
Yeah, so why not experience the pain all over again?
It's so funny. Conan did a joke about Target, like where the CEO, you know, he's like, maybe we shouldn't have named ourselves Target.
Target will offer all shoppers a discount this weekend after hacky sackers.
Oh, I hate those guys. They're always kicking shit around the place.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're doing with their debit card numbers now. They stole 40 million credit and debit card numbers. Customers
will
get...
Okay, wait. If you did that, it would take you a while to go through all those, wouldn't it?
Or do you would sell have
them?
To.
Do you sell them to someone
them
else?
Bulk to, they're selling them.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, that's how they end up on these, like, black market type sites, is they sell them in bits and pieces. Like, well, let's sell them a couple thousand. Let's sell them a couple thousand. So, yeah.
It sucks.
The security breach happened days before Thanksgiving to December 15th. Wow, so it was just until recently.
Yeah.
Right now it's not acceptable, said the CEO Target. We're doing everything we can to shorten the call wait time so we can answer any questions.
You can't even, no one answers.
Isn't that a lovely Noel? It's been swell.
What?
In Korea... the heart of Seoul, South Korea, Seoul, wow, that was clever. The Gangnam neighborhood, who we all know
Gangnam?
Because of their Gangnam style.
1, 2, 3, go and eat it.
It's lined with streets of cosmetic surgery joints. Untold numbers of Koreans as well as Chinese and Southeast Asian tourists have gone there to get their noses pointed, their eyes rounded.
Why?
Slimmer jaws, gentler smiles. But now, there's plenty of people that can't afford it, so why not have a do-it-yourself cosmetic enhancement? Korean teens who lack the funds to purchase rarefied good looks... have taken together a VIP package of procedures such as eye lift, nose job, and jawbone cutting operations. Ow? How do you do that? Youngsters are taking the burden upon themselves to craft a better face, enter the DIY craze, potentially Harvard, what? Hazardous fad among high schoolers who self-apply cheap and scantily regulated tools bought online. Yeah, that's, I think that's actually a patient. Sitting in their apartment, a pair of teens explained that they wear eccentric glasses to force their eyes to stay open without blinking.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
Ow.
That would be painful, Bill.
There's a jaw squeezing roller device.
What?
That,
why would you
helps
your jaw?
That helps slimline the jaw. Ow. And there's another device that helps flatten the nose.
Yes, yes. Jesus Christ, yes.
So why not inject some cooking oil into your face?
Hmm.
You know, to help raise your cheekbones.
O-I-L.
Yeah, you get it from that lady. Maybe you can get some biodiesel and fill your car also. Ouch.
Eee. What's wrong with these people? Are they bored or?
Well, no, they're desperate. They want to look Western. There's this whole obsession with Western culture in Korea and Japan, and they just desperately want to look like Americans, I guess. They celebrate and obsess over us, and it's it's disturbing. Who the hell would want to, you know, be an American? Did I just say that out loud? Whoops.
Hey, boy, ain't you proud of being American?
It looks like
you're going to accept that you can't beat the real American heroes.
Deadline Hollywood is saying that I have to say this is speculation. Nothing's been confirmed yet that they have asked Paul Rudd to fill the role of Hank Pym for the Ant-Man film.
Yeah, and Bill, I only saw this story on a gazillion websites.
Yeah, really care.
That works for me. That's fine.
What I want to know is a friend of mine made a good point on Facebook that Hank Pym's an asshole. Like, how are they going to do a film based on a kind of a douchey character?
Looks like a poltergeist.
But it's Joe Cornish and Edgar Wright, so hopefully they'll come up with something. I mean, all, you know, Sean, Gary King, Nicholas Angel, they're all kind of douchey characters. So
it looks like the Doppler radar.
I think they could probably do a pretty good job with it.
I don't even remember what he acts like, but I'm sure it'll be cool. It'll be Paul Rudd. What do you mean? Just act like Paul Rudd and have.
Yeah, I mean, I love that somebody put together a supercut of his appearances on Conan to just show how many times he's shown that clip
Mac and Me
from Mac and Me, because that cracks me up. There's an article from Pace saying that Frank Darabont is looking for new sources of income because Mob City is not doing well.
When life gives you lemons, just take the lemons and bail.
Wait, yeah. What, Bill?
I guess there was a suit filed Tuesday that Darabont against AMC, that Darabont and his agency CAA are accusing AMC of depriving Darabont of money through self-dealing, where one AMC affiliate produces the program, then licenses the show to another cable channel affiliate who televises it.
Yeah, yeah. He's suing them, right? Because for money owed. And, of course, some people are like, well, looks like Mob City's not doing that good. He needs money. He does not need money. Shut up.
Yeah, what's with this headline?
This is the way it works in life. And I know it doesn't make sense to us because we don't have a lot of money working in Hollywood. But if you are owed something because of a contract you sign, you should fight to get it.
Yeah, and that's all he's doing.
Right.
But they because they like to play on the idea that Mob City's bombing.
Not doing so good without the zombies, are you, Frank Darabont? He was doing just fine before the zombies, okay?
And again, another snarky headline, cash-strapped Clancy Brown joins the World of Warcraft film.
Now, why is he cash-strapped in the story?
Yes, because he's taken a role in the World of Warcraft film. Why is that cash-strapped?
He's not. He makes so much money from doing voices. He doesn't even have to act in live action.
And he's a wonderful actor who would probably fit whatever character they're going to give him. And I'm not a fan of World of Warcraft, but it's freaking Duncan Jones.
I would work on that movie just because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, I like wizards.
My dreams. I am the wizard master.
Yeah, mine too, Steven.
Yeah, it's sort of irritating to go down through these.
What? It's all cynical horseshit, and that's what I hate about news stories like this.
Well, they're not even news. It's speculation, the writer has to inject this cynical internet style because they believe that that's what's funny. That's what this current generation finds funny, are people being assholes.
We make that joke sometimes, somebody need to pay their mortgage.
but that's like when Ben Affleck took paycheck.
Right. They're not cash-strapped Clancy Brown. The guy's just being a dick for writing that. Right, Steven?
Yes.
Thank no, you're right. It's a dicky yeah. thing to do.
I mean, now if you saw his house up for bankruptcy, okay.
Yeah, if they would have said like
Clancy Brown's house up for bankruptcy,
like Randy cash strap Randy Quaid, I go okay, I understand.
Well, yeah, where is Randy Quaid?
Happy Halloween, ladies.
Randy Quaid was such a genius. It's so sad to see.
Is he in Canada? I know he left or something to avoid arrest or because he didn't pay for a mortgage. I don't even know what it was.
That's Randy from A Christmas Story, Foggy. Jesus.
Well, you know what? Randy Quaid probably is making pig noises somewhere.
What, you got shit in your ears? Come on!
They released the trailer to 22 Jump Street this week.
I can't wait to see it. Looks funny.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I actually really liked the first one, shockingly.
Yeah, so did I. I loved it. Funny stuff, man.
Yeah, and I'm really struggling here. I am sorry. Oh, you know what? We should bring this up. Billy Jack died this week.
Yes, Billy Jack did die this week.
Yeah, and so did Peter O'Toole. So it was a big loss this week for acting talent, at least in one case.
I was actually really upset when Paul Walker died, too. We were both
upset. You know
what?
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, we didn't do
a show that whole time. That was shocking. Like Stephen,
that was really shocking. In fact, Stephen, it still bothers me.
It was on Facebook chat. He goes, Paul Walker died. I was like, nuh-uh. What the hell is he talking about?
I said, dude, I like check several sources and everybody's
same here.
Yes.
The same when Tony Scott
died. I'm not saying 100%, but it's being reported that's what I told Jason.
When Tony Scott died, I had to keep like refreshing, like, and then you know, the story, it would be
Paul Walker.
Yeah.
You know?
And then all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, no, the guy's gone. The guy's
dead. One of those asshole satirical sites posted that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw it. I was like, oh, it's a hoax. Thank God. You know, that guy, he's got that new movie coming out, Hours, that looks really interesting. And supposedly it's like his most intense role. I'm a huge fan of Running Scared. Not the Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines film, but the Wayne Kramer film.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fantastic. If people haven't seen Running Scared, rent it, find it, watch it. It is the most demented fairy tale with a wonderful Vera Farmiga, Paul Walker, John Noble. It's such a creepy, fantastic film. I think it's Wayne Kramer's best film because I wasn't a real big fan of The Cooler. I haven't watched Pawn Star Chronicles yet, or Pawn Shop Chronicles, sorry. But I'm looking forward to that also because it's got a huge cast in it of great people.
Yeah, it was nice seeing all the different co-stars and directors who'd worked with them kind of saying kind words and stuff. And
yeah, they even shut down the site for a memorial for all his friends and family, and it was really cool. It was I'm sad to see him go. It's not fair.
Yeah,
but I guess that happens.
I was just like, damn, it sucks. It really does just suck, you know? Sucks.
It does. So I guess, you know, that's pretty much news for this week. I'm so sorry that it's been crazy, and then I didn't even think about looking at the news, and I had to rush out to see The Hobbit so we could talk about it.
There's no new Star Wars news or anything, Bill? No rumors there, or
no, thank God.
No screenshots to the set.
Oh, here's something in worthless news. Ed Helms, the comedic actor who was on The Office and the Hangover movies, is rebooting The Naked Gun.
Yeah, it's like he's going to play Frank Drebin.
I mean, I'm not going to jump on it right away. I don't hold the Naked Gun films to be.
How dare they destroy the integrity of the
pinnacles of filmmaking.
Oh, can I say this? Speaking of remakes, because, you know, let's face it, we're all about, sorry, might as well just take a drink.
Yeah.
you know, like they did the Total Recall remake, you know. How dare they do that? Give me another remake, Bill. I can't think of any. I'm blanking on it. Like, they do these remakes.
RoboCop?
They're doing RoboCop. But what happens is the movie comes out, it makes no impact because the movie's just not that great or interesting. It doesn't do anything to stand out for itself, to be special. So it disappears. And yesterday, I watched the Red Dawn remake on Netflix.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
If the movie stood on itself, say it wasn't a remake, it's perfectly fine, I guess. There's nothing special about it, though. There's nothing that I don't understand why they even made it, much like the Total Recall remake. It came and went. Everyone forgot about it. And the remakes, have any of these made money that they've remade? Any of them?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I remember going to see the Total Recall remake just out of pure morbid curiosity.
Yeah,
and I just remember it being a soulless waste of time.
Yeah, there's just nothing special about them. And let's see what happens with the RoboCop one.
Yeah, I don't even understand how people can be excited about the RoboCop one. I
saw some people, whoa, this actually looks pretty good. It's like, calm down, hold on. Have you seen RoboCop? Then you can't replace that.
Well, the original RoboCop has such wonderful characters. And
all I'm asking for, Bill, is for it to be somewhat interesting, you know?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's got interesting. I like Michael Keaton.
So do I.
So, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All right, and I'm sorry, but that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
What do you say, Bill? We do some DVDs.
Let's do them.
This is going to be awesome. All right, Steven, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Let's do the DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs, everybody! All right! The DVDs, Bill.
What the heck was that?
Is that
the cat,
weird
crazy
cat,
cat
lady?
Lady.
Oh, yes.
Marsha Wallace died, too.
You know, you guys are out there like Pluto, man. You're gone.
Miss Krabappel died. It's sad. Everybody's dying, Bill.
That's really too bad. You know, that happens in life.
Sucks, man. I want to live forever, just like Anakin wanted to, and save Padme, right, Bill?
Yeah, and I don't like sand either, so that we have a lot in common with Anakin.
I hate sand.
It's everywhere.
No! So does he. All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week? Or Blu-rays and all that stuff?
Well, we'll go back a little ways. Let's see, earlier this month we had Battle of the Year 3D on Blu-ray. Big for having Tim Riggins in it, I believe.
Battle of the Year, what the hell is that?
I think it's one of those dance battle movies.
Oh, sweet!
Despicable Me 2 3D, finally on Blu-ray.
Emma and I watched that last Saturday in 3D, and we'd seen it in the theater, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, those movies are very, very cute. Fast and the Furious 6 hit Blu-ray.
Not ready to watch it.
Yep, me neither.
Sad. Makes me bummed out.
There's a movie I've been interested to watch for a while now that Magnolia released on Blu-ray called The Hunt, starring Hannibal Lecter.
Mads Mikkelsen?
Yes.
Nice.
Who I always find very unsettling, no matter what he does.
Just go away!
He's a good actor.
Remember he was Le Chief in Casino Royale.
He was. That's right.
He'd cry that one spot. Was it blood?
Yes, I believe it was because he had some weird eye thing. Argo, the extended edition, you know, in the unneeded release area.
Vis-a-vis. I liked Argo.
I did too, but from what I'm understanding, this extended edition just kind of adds stuff back in that wasn't needed.
Oh. You gotta love those kind of director's cuts.
Yeah. Well, it's not even a director's cut. It's just a money grab from the studio.
Oh, added stuff cut.
Yeah. Adam had mentioned the extended cut of Wolverine.
Yeah.
That came out. The only thing that disappointed me on that is that Fox didn't go through the trouble of doing the extended cut in 3D.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snore.
Yeah, that sucks when they do that. When they released that extended Hobbit, did they do it in 3D?
Yeah, they ended up releasing it in 3D.
Oh, well, that's cool. I didn't think they did.
No, they did. They did.
Oh.
Because it Best Buy, they only offer the version that is 3D and digital copy. You have to either go to Walmart or any other store to get the version that has the 2D, 3D, and digital copy.
Isn't that a lovely Noel? It's been swell.
It sucks. But, yeah, they did that. But the Wolverine extended cut, far superior. Commentary track from James Mangold on it is fantastic. I can't recommend it enough.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snoring.
It's the version of the film we deserved.
Yes.
Although I immensely enjoyed the theatrical cut.
So did I. Just seeing that added blood. You know what's funny is because usually like CGI blood and stuff looks like shit. It actually looks good in that.
Yeah, it looks really good. And there's one or two scenes where there's just this wonderful scene involving the end fight with the ninjas. That is just it adds so much more to how
great. Why wouldn't they leave that in there, Bill?
I don't know, but it just makes that scene even better.
Then what's your name, little boy?
Well, I'm Bill, and I want a football.
Oh, wait, football? What the heck?
Football, football. What's a football?
All right, and this week we also had Ain't Them Body Saints. This is a movie that looked kind of interesting because it has a huge cast of actors like Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck, Ben Foster, Keith Carradine. And it says 4 years ago, impassioned young outlaw couple Bob Muldoon and Ruth Guthrie were apprehended in Texas Hills during a shootout. Left a local officer wounded by a bullet from Ruth's gun. Taking the blame, Bob was sentenced to 25 years in prison after having engineered a daring escape. He's now determined to reconnect with the love of his life. It looked really interesting. I thought maybe somebody has checked it out or might want to check it out, but it's got really great actors and the trailer looked pretty good.
Where does it take place at?
Are you going to play a clip? Drop?
What are you talking about, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
You're just supposed to play along, Bill.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Where does it take place?
I don't know. Where does it?
Damn it! just forget it.
Where does it take place, Bill?
Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Just go along with it. I didn't know where you were going. I like get apprehensive.
There's
Sorry.
Always a reason.
All right. I apologize. You can just edit that out. There's going to be plenty of editing on this episode, anyways.
Webster, I'm just releasing it as is.
I have to bring this up just because of the cover. Christ. I know that Swiley will look this up and put it in his feedback. There's a film with Jean-Claude Van Damme straight to video called Alien Uprising. And the cover art looks almost identical to the cover art for that Peter Berg, Will Smith movie. Hancock, was it?
Uh-huh.
It looks, I mean, if you went through there and you were looking for Hancock, you might accidentally pick this one up. I mean, I don't know how they got away with it. This week, we saw the release of Elysium on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, I want that shit.
Yep, and also The Lone Ranger, which I have to say I watched.
And it was awful, right?
I didn't hate it.
It is nowhere near as bad as people say it is.
I figured there's no way it could be.
I'm not a big fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean films. I'm just not. But there's this mad cappery going on with the Lone Ranger that you can't help but smile. And there's some genuinely funny moments. And it does get dark. It's disturbingly dark at times. But this is a Gore Verbinski film. And
yeah,
you almost have to – that's kind of his thing, is to make you laugh 1 minute and then make you scared shitless the next.
Where does that movie take place at, Bill?
You know what? I think it might be Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright.
It probably doesn't even take place in Texas, does it?
He's a Texas Ranger?
He's a Texas Ranger, yeah.
Oh, sweet!
Yes. We also saw the release of Luc Besson's The Family.
That looked pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I wasn't about to blind buy it, but I'm definitely going to rent it. I need to see it. And when you mention cash grabs, this is a cash grab. It's Steven Seagal in Force of Execution.
Oh, love that title. It just means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing.
Force of Execution.
But it sounds fantastic.
Wow.
Also, Paramount finally.
I got Ticker. I got Into the Sun. Under Siege. I got Above the Law. Out for Justice. Hard to Kill. I got all that, man.
I got that one you did with the Keenan brother. That are the Waynes.
What's his name? And I got that new one. What's that new one called again, Bill?
Force of Execution.
Force of Execution. What's that mean anyway? Shit, I don't know.
That means I'm going to kill your ass.
Oh, Bill, we have to mention the new Dolph Lundgren movie.
Holy shit, does that look amazing.
That looks so badass. Did you watch that?
No.
Okay, get this. I guess it's in the future or something, but there's zombies everywhere, right?
Okay.
Of course, Dolph Lundgren, you know he's a badass.
Of course.
He's not going to fight him alone, though. Get this, Steven. Who would you get to help you fight zombies? What would you get? If you would say, robots, yeah! Robots versus zombies, Steven. And what is the movie called, Bill?
It's not called Robots versus Zombies.
It's almost as if robots made this.
Webster, no.
Uh-oh.
It's called Webster, no. He's getting antsy. He's like, hey, what about me? What is it called? I know we both posted on Facebook. I'm going to bring it up real quick. It is called Battle of the Damned.
Yeah. And my post was, this may very well be the greatest movie ever made.
I think it is. I cannot wait for it. I got to go back and look and see when it's going to be available on video on demand, because I'm all over it.
Oh, dude, it looks friggin' awesome. Robots mowing down zombies with machine guns.
And it's like he programs the robots to only kill zombies, and then he like asks the robots what they do to zombies, and the robot replies in the best way possible.
Say the line, Bill.
F them up.
You got to zombies? Watch the trailer, Steven.
F them up.
It looks awesome, and I'm not kidding. It looks obviously we know it's a low budget movie, but it looks like you're going to be laughing your ass off through the whole movie.
It looks like incredible cheesy fun.
Yeah, and I love Dolph Lundgren. He could pretty much make anything, and I'll watch it.
Even his god-awful, he did this movie.
We're out of here.
Called Command Performance, where he plays like an aging rock star in Russia. What? And this group of like Russian terrorists invade this like this concert. Ridiculous. And he has to kill them all, basically. It's awful and wonderful. I mean, most
go in pieces, asshole.
Awesome.
Dolph Lundgren has some really fun direct-to-video films.
Yeah, he works a lot. He makes a lot of those things.
He does, and I wish I could name more of them. If I was looking at my Blu-ray rack, I could, because I own most of them, just because the guy, you got to respect the guy. He's doing his own thing.
Cash Strap Monkey. Blood of makes Redemption. Zombie movie.
Ambushed. Battle of the Damned.
Yeah, I mean, Force of Execution.
Force of Execution.
That's like, a really forceful execution, I guess. Paramount has finally decided to release the Indiana Jones film separately.
Hope your execution is slow and painful.
So now you can pick up Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple Doom, Last Crusade individually.
Or, you know, the fourth one, if you want to check that out.
Or not.
Well, well, Indiana Jones, you're looking nice.
This kind of shocked me. I saw it in the store the other day. Fox has gone back and done a 3D version of Predator.
Oh, what?
I know. I saw it in the store and I was like, "What in the hell is this?"
Is it good?
I have no idea, but it just said Predator 3D and it has Arnold and it's Predator and it comes with the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray 3D, the Blu-ray, and the DVD. I was not expecting that.
You know what? Speaking of Shia LaBeouf, Bill.
Oh, my God. Because I should have put that in news.
In the Indiana Jones. Did you hear about that? He made a short film, and right. It was in Cannes or Cannes or whatever you want to call it, and it played at festivals. Finally, it went online, like, this week. Immediately, people were like, dude, this is like the exact story of a Dan Close comic book story, like that he did. You know, he did like 8 Ball and right. stuff like that. And they were like, in fact, like it outright steals dialogue and everything from it. Like, why didn't he give credit to it? This is obviously inspired by that story. And people were calling it out like, Shia LaBeouf, you plagiarized this. And he was like, I effed up. Yeah, I didn't realize.
Well, even before he tweeted that he effed up, he was like, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You know, he's like, just trying to.
That's not the way plagiarism works, dude. You know, you can't outright steal something. Isn't that crazy?
They found that in his apology, he actually lifted some of it from like a Yahoo Groups kind of thing, like. Almost word for word.
Yeah, he looked up an apology somewhere else. Plagiarized it.
Yeah.
I wanted somebody, Jim Gaffigan's the star of that movie. I wanted somebody to talk to him and go, did you know that you were basically making something that was based on something that wasn't being acknowledged at all?
Yeah, and he had to say, it's just a job. I was paid to do a job and I did not know where the source material came from.
What?
Yeah, that is effed up. Shia LaBeouf's a friggin' moron.
He's a douchebag. Like, have you ever seen the video on YouTube of him? There's a guy, he posted it on Reddit.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. Yes.
In California or LA, in general, I guess it's legal to ride between traffic on motorcycles.
Yes.
So this guy's on his motorcycle and he has a helmet cam because that's like the new thing to do. Like anytime you're driving or, you know, they do it in Russia because people have been known to throw themselves in front of cars to get compensation.
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know.
So people drive with these dash cams. So this guy's driving with a helmet cam and he's driving through traffic and he passes Shia LaBeouf in an SUV. And then Shia LaBeouf gets up next to the guy at a stoplight and just stares him down. Like, just giving him the evil eye. And the guy's just like, hey, how are you doing? And he just keeps staring at him. Like, I'm going to kill you for, you know, being on a bike and me having to be stuck in traffic. He radiates douche.
Yeah.
And this hasn't helped.
Yeah. I mean, he's an idiot. Yeah. I would think somebody would talk to him and go, you know, like, did he pass that off? Like, yeah, I wrote the script and it's really good. And you guys want to make this?
Douche.
I mean, why wouldn't somebody go, you know, you need to credit where you got this from?
Yeah, that's. I think maybe he's just naive.
Look at that douchebag. I'm sorry.
Or just an asshole. I think I'm leaning more towards asshole.
Yeah. I pictured him there at his computer bill that day when everyone found out, him going, no, 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 no.
I bet he was. That's great. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
And because it's Christmas week, there's really no releases except one, Insidious Chapter 2.
No, it looks scary, Bill.
Yeah, I heard that these films are actually pretty good. I haven't seen any of them.
I ain't watching them.
I'm not really a horror film guy, so I don't tend to gravitate towards them.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, it can be. So we're going to go to the week after the new year. I believe it's January. What is it? Yeah, the next release date. Riddick is hitting Blu-ray finally.
Riddick.
And I really enjoyed the movie, but its climax was very anticlimactic. It just didn't. It was like, oh, it's over.
Wow. Like,
it's just not really.
How's Vin Diesel in that? He's great as Riddick, right?
Oh, he's fantastic. And you really actually start to care about the characters. You see, this is his Riddick as a person film. You know, he was kind of the mysterious badass in the first one. In Chronicles of Riddick, he was a guy in over his head dealing with these crazies.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
Jesus. You know, and while we've been on break, I actually watched Arsenio one night while I was just I'm working on my basement, and I had the TV on, and it was so freaking awful.
It's so bad.
I had to change it.
So bad.
I just didn't. Wow.
By the way, Bill, where is Riddick filmed at?
Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart
of Texas. I think it's actually New Zealand, but let's just go along with it. On a set, I don't think any of Riddick was actually
You guys
shot
out there like Pluto, man. You're gone.
On location anywhere.
It filmed on another planet.
Yeah, a green screen planet.
How is Starbuck in that?
Naked.
When does that Blu-ray come out?
Yeah, you actually see her boobies.
When does that come out, Bill?
The January 10th.
Butt ass naked, literally.
Oh, so, yeah, cha-ching!
I tell you what, man, when I saw it in the theater, I saw it with some Starbuck geeks, and the audible gasp as she's washing herself and you see boob.
I'll never manage to stop looking at her boobs.
Made me laugh out loud.
Like there's like, like all the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting in front of these guys that were like major hardcore nerds. And I think one of them choked on their popcorn.
Rimshot. Big laugh, applause, applause, applause.
And she looks great. She looks great. Major props for her to whipping the puppies out.
Anything for Vin Diesel, right?
Hey, yeah. And, you know, there's a little hint to maybe a love interest. I don't know.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
It wasn't funny the first time Arsenio said it.
It was never funny. Oh. We made it funny because it was so awful.
Yes.
Drum roll, please.
We will see the release of Jogo Levitt's film Don John on Blu-ray.
Yes, I was interested in seeing that.
About the guy that loves, what was it, porn, his body, and his family. That's what the trailer really told me.
Yes.
And then he meets one girl that makes him want to stop watching porn, and that's Scarlett Johansson, which I could probably deal with.
Yeah, and Her comes out soon. I really want to see that. She does the voice in there.
She does the voice of the operating system that Joaquin Phoenix, as my dad says. Joaquin.
Oh, dude, I really want to see that movie. It looks really good.
It looks amazing. And it looks fantastic. And Joaquin Phoenix has been doing some amazing work. The Master is one of those films after I saw it for the first time in 70mm. Just little. Mm-hmm.
A witness said a bioman took her.
It's one of those movies after I saw it once, I did not want to see it again for a long time.
Yeah.
Like it gets in your head.
I need to find the time to watch it. It's been on like Showtime and stuff.
You almost have to like watch it in sections, or maybe it loses its effect that way. I don't know, but it's really intense at times.
Oh my God.
I don't think we should really go any further because I'm sure we'll be back by then.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'll just do this. The Following with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, God.
You know, if you want to own that on Blu-ray, you can go and pick it up.
The worst effing show on television.
It really is painful.
Kevin Bacon plays such an inept hero in that show. You will be so angry after every episode ends and you're like, I will never watch this show again. You watch it again and it can't get more stupid, where he's hunting for the serial killer who has a cult of serial killers. They all like live in a compound and they're killing people. He's so shitty. He gets captured. He gets a gun knocked out of his hand. He gets knocked unconscious. He gets tied up over and over again. There's even a part, this is hilarious, but where one of the cult members turns themselves in. They're like, they all have their guns on them. They're like, freeze. And they're like, no, I quit the cult. I thought what they were doing was wrong. I'll tell you where they are. And they're like, okay. They all holster their weapons. They turn their back on the cult member. And they start to walk down the hall. The cult member pulls out an ice pick and stabs a dude in the brain. And they're like, oh my God. It's like, what? What? These cops are so inept.
What did that accomplish?
Why did they turn around on the cult member? Just because, like, no, I'm not in the cult anymore. I quit. They're like, all right, well, come on in.
All right, come on.
Keep your guns drawn. Handcuff
them. Murdering cult.
That's how bad that show is, Bill.
Wow.
It's awful. It's so awful. And by the way, the killer died in a fire and explosion at the end. And of course, he's back alive in season 2. How did he survive? Because the show's stupid. That's why.
Wake up, stupid! Wake up!
Wow.
Oh, that was my rant on The Following. Sorry.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned like the show with the cultists. I was watching the final, I guess, the wrap up of The Mentalist, how they finally reveal who Red John is and all that. I stopped watching that show years ago.
Yeah, me too. Heather still loves it though.
It turns out that now Red John has a whole like cult following.
Yeah, he always had like these followers, these disciples, and I almost think that The Following was like, ooh, that sounds like a good premise for a show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, Kevin Williamson watched that and was like, ooh, that's a good idea.
Right.
What he doesn't realize is that they were trying to get away from that to wrap up that story because it was so incredibly uninteresting.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, people were tired of it.
It's like, I'm Red John. No, I'm Red John. I'm Red. It was like Red John was Spartacus all of a sudden.
I'm Malcolm X. I'm Spartacus.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't take that show. Right. They're releasing Love Actually for like the fifth time on Blu-ray. And It's really annoying because on the cover art underneath it says the ultimate romantic comedy. And the fact that they're calling it a romantic comedy kind of irritates me because this movie is so fucking depressing.
What is? Love Actually?
Yeah. I tried watching it the other night because I've heard that it's really charming and fun. And
it is.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but it just depressed me.
You're a jackass. I love you.
I know. I'm sorry. And I love Richard Curtis.
It does make you feel good at the end, Bill.
I guess. It's just, maybe I was just in a really bad mood.
You were in a sour mood, mister.
Well, you know, it's seasonal disaffective disorder, I guess. I don't know. And finally, Runner.
Chicken Dunner?
Yes, Runner Runner Chicken Dunner is on Blu-ray.
Steven, stop looking at me like that.
How dare you.
Yeah, it's got Gemma Arterton in it, so I'm going to watch it. You know, something for the men and then Justin Timberlake for the ladies.
Not fancy or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, I shouldn't say that finally. This is the finally. This is the second ending. This is the Return of the King ending. Tequila Sunrise on Blu-ray.
You bow before no one. Oh, Tequila Sunrise. I love that movie. That's a good movie.
You know what? Every time I see Tequila Sunrise, I can't help but think of the tequila? One of the final scenes. No, not the Eagles song. But the one of the final scenes in the vampire movie, Anne Rice, Interview with the Vampire. That's the movie that the Brad Pitt character was walking out of at the end. That's the movie that's on the billboard as he's walking out to do his interview with Christian Slater.
He enjoyed some Tequila Sunrise.
He did. I mean, who doesn't enjoy a little Mel Gibson, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Kurt Russell in their heyday?
It was Robert Towne. Did he write that?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, please don't let me be wrong, Bill. I feel so stupid.
I'm just going to let you go with it. No, it was Robert Towne.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good flick. It's before Mel Gibson fell off the deep end.
That happens to the best of us.
Yeah, just like the Duck Dynasty guy.
Yeah, you know, you get a little arrogant and you start saying stupid shit.
Sometimes just don't ask that person. It's like I would never go up to Hitler and go, "Hey, how do you feel about black people?" Or tape recorder. Yeah, just like, you don't do that because you don't want their answer. You don't want... There's people on Facebook who I'm like, oh, I don't want to read this.
The person has to be smart enough not to fall into the trap.
Yeah, and if they do, then screw them. They're stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
In spite of your bungling.
And that's DVDs for this week.
Yay! Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Wake up, stupid! Wake up!
Thank you! Good night! Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Isn't that a lovely Noel? It's been swell.
It sure has. All right, everyone. That was episode... Did you like that? Deep breath.
Deep breaths. Expand the diaphragm.
Did you guys enjoy that? That was episode 286 of Entertainment Landfill. Yay! Merry Christmas.
I think we salvaged it pretty well.
Yeah, we did. Little will anyone know after they hear the edited version that
fantastic.
We spent... at least 45 minutes with sound problems. And
it was closer to an hour.
Yeah, I was losing my mind till finally I was like, I don't know what
reboot,
popped in my head.
Just
like, maybe I should check for updates. And thank God, Bill, am I right?
Yeah, way to go on that one. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You deserve and have gained my undying respect.
Oh, well, thank you. Well,
you didn't have it already.
It was a Christmas miracle, Bill.
It was. It really was.
I'm just going to, even though it was me who did it, I'm going to go ahead and say it was a Christmas miracle and give them the credit.
It was the Duck Dynasty guy. He works in miracles.
It was Christmas snow. It's what brings Frosty to life. Happy birthday. All right, everyone. That was episode 286 of Entertainment Landfill. If you'd like to go to etlandfill.com, you can find a link to all of our episodes. We've done so many of them. Really, we've done a lot. Go ahead, check them out. There's a lot. Just pick anywhere in the timeline. You know, it's pretty crazy.
You'll see the time when, stream.
Yeah, the time stream. You'll see times when we did other things in life. And
yeah, when Jean-Claude went back in time to save his wife, Mia
Steven
Sarah.
Was a helicopter pilot in one time.
He crashed it, though. Crashed. He sucked.
Bill, you were a cosmonaut, which is weird because you're not Russian.
Well, I may have been.
Yeah.
Another time zone.
Could have been.
Timeline.
Yes, in the central time zone, I'm Russian.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was a...
Wow. That hurt.
A...
What? My Webster's ears just shot up. He's like, what the hell is that?
I was a fireman.
You got to dream big.
I'm really good at improvisation, Steven, aren't I?
You knew what everybody else was.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
All right, you can also leave us a voicemail at 1206-376-0272, and you could leave a voicemail like this guy.
Hey, guys, just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas, and hopefully get a chance to listen to the show live tonight. I actually get my son's first Christmas, which is pretty fun this year. Pretty excited about it. But
so are we, mystery man.
All right. Bye.
Who are you? Never said who you were. Who are you? I know who it is.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
It's the Joker.
You know, we can't end a Christmas episode, guys, without one...
I'm taking my headphones off.
No, Bill, come back. We've got one final thing. After people leave an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com, of course. Bill, we have a tradition we play on our Christmas episodes, and that's a lovely rendition of Oh Holy Night.
Oh, holy shit.
We must listen to this before we can sign off. It's a tradition here at Nowhere in Mulberry / Entertainment Landfill.
Terrible tradition.
We'll always be Nowhere in Mulberry. In fact, we're changing the name back. What do you guys say? Woohoo! Let's change the name back. Nothing's been the same since we've changed.
I'm so confused. You've changed!
You've changed. It used to be about the podcast, man.
Now it's about the pickle.
Sorry.
What?
Podcast pickle?
The podcast pickle. That works for me.
Whoa there, pickle.
Yeah, exactly. So, Bill, tell me, what is your favorite part of this old Holy Night song?
The end?
That's a good answer. I love at the end when he breaks, like his voice breaks. That's my favorite.
I just like that it's over.
I love it. Steven, is it time?
It's time.
Let's roll it. Oh, holy night. This is dedicated to all of our listeners. Merry Christmas!
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night.
It is.
Of our dear Savior's birth.
Wow.
Long lay the world in sin and error pine.
Yep, that's the spot where you know there's going to be trouble.
And the soul fails. It's worth.
Yeah.
A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
There we go.
On your knees,
sing it, brother.
Well, at least he feels it.
I just picture the audience members.
God, I hope there's no audience. Yeah, I'm pleading. Oh, God. Yes, bring it down.
You know it was.
Yes. Yes.
How does he keep it together?
That's my favorite part.
And that wouldn't work if somebody was doing that on purpose.
I hate you.
It works because the guy thinks he can sing. Am I right?
Yes.
At least.
Well, he's man, he's, God, he's bad.
He's sincere, isn't he?
He's sincere. Sincerely bad.
Sincerely awful. I hope I didn't ruin your Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from us here at Entertainment Landfill. And I want to mostly give a Merry Christmas to everyone in our chat room who stuck it out. I'm pretty sure there's nobody in there, Bill. Let's see who's in there. Oh, there's Credo, there's JF, and Zell.
Oh, man, Credo's missing his chance to call in and totally bring it to us. Screeching halt.
Oh, man, but Adam Sexton, he stuck out for a long time. But
he did.
I totally would have, when we were having problems, I totally would have just been like, you know, screw these guys, I'm out of here.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah,
they can't even do their show right.
Yeah, I totally would have. But thank you guys for listening, and thanks everybody for your support. And keep an eye out for that holiday pack in January. That's when that's going to launch. Bill, let's go ahead and tell people what they can expect. We did Lethal Weapon,
yes,
and we're totally going to do Commando.
Commando
classic by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep, I'll have my copy on Monday.
And director Mark L. Lester.
Yes, he went on to a long storied career.
Yes, and you know what's funny is I didn't realize sometimes when we do these movies, there's some kind of weird tie together of the different films, and we don't even realize it till we do them, is that Joel Silver produced Commando and Lethal Weapon.
Nice.
Pretty awesome. All right, guys, we're out of here. Woo-hoo! See you later. Bye, Steven. Bye, Bill. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
God bless
us, everyone.
Yes. God bless us, everyone. And Happy New Year! All right, guys. Bye. I'm out of here.
Hey, kid, hurry up. The store's closing.
Boopy doopy doop boop sex.
yes, your Christmas wish came true.